And it was like this like Russian woman or Eastern European. And she's like, I want to get the test so we can like, you know, confirm that it is herpes, whatever. So she like went in there and had to like scrape. She was like scraping like with a fucking
one of the
like a dentist thing.
One of the scabs?
Yeah, she would like scrape at it, and I was like, ah, and I was like crying, and I was like, oh my god. And she called me a baby. She's like, your baby. She's like, I'm just trying to find this thing. I'm like, I'm not a baby. I was like, you got a metal thing in a fucking open wound on my cock. I'm not. This is unusual.
Ari Shafir is gonna interview Jolas, and Jolas has herpes. Oh, yeah.
That was great. First live song intro. Today's podcast about herpes with Jolas, but I did it in Central Park with Joe, and then in the interim, before this came out, Liz did a Legion of Skanks episode, and he got some hateful tweets, and he wanted to express something to you guys before the episode started.
I got one hateful tweet, and the guy called me a piece of shit, and then I got worried. You're like, nobody, you'll get positive tweets from your fans.
My fans are not like the Legion of Skanks fans.
Well, that's good to hear, but you're like, they'll only be mad if it's boring. And now I feel like I wasn't as exciting as I could have been because you lulled me. I was in a park.
Because we're in a park in the
shade. We were shirtless in the shade, laying on a bush. Yeah. And I felt like I was lulled into it. I was literally laying down.
Well, okay. Now you have a... Yes, you were. But you are now, too.
By the way, I'm back. We're back in Central Park. Again. Oh,
yeah. That's why you thought of it, maybe.
Laying down.
What did the guy say to you? What was the hateful tweet?
A guy tweeted at me. He said, you are a piece of shit in every way. And then he said, I can't wait for your career to go absolutely nowhere, which I have some bad news for him there. And then he said, lifelong middle, which I don't middle. I mean, I'm headlining all kinds of rooms. You can check my schedule. So he's got some bad news there. But
And what was this in response to?
I have no idea. I just did Legion of Skanks is the last thing I had done before then. So
it came out of, you have no idea. He wasn't like quoting anything.
No, he didn't say, he didn't point to a specific incident.
You think it was because of the movies?
Oh, there's Dan Soder. Hold on one second.
By the way, that intro song was Mateo Lane. Guys, so this is Ari Shafir's Skeptic Tank, episode 227. Listen, this week I'm in Washington, D.C. at the D.C. Improv, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to my website for details. I'm also adding a storyteller show in New York on July 28th after Montreal. And then heading to Scotland for a month. So go to AriTheGreat.com for all the dates and to use my Amazon link to do shopping. Hold on. Joe's coming back.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is, you can talk, it's fine. But by the way, no, I'm saying you can. It doesn't matter. I won't pick it up. this episode is about herpes. It is about herpes. Joe has it. And so I wanted to talk to him for a while to get somebody's firsthand opinion of what it was. I had a scare a while ago. I thought it would be that. You think? Yeah, but it's okay. Luis Gomez is here, too. We're having a fun day in the park. Luis J. Gomez, yes. And the Big J Roast is this Wednesday. Where can the people stream it? AnthonyCumia.com. You can stream the Big J Roast. I'm on the dais. I'll probably be 2.5 hours in because Lewis is a terrible promoter. And okay, so now.
And Lewis has a ton of jokes to tell.
That you wrote?
I wrote a few. A few of the best ones.
So if you guys
so take
don't,
that.
Don't laugh at Lewis's jokes, it's because he messed up the ones that Joe wrote.
It's because I'm a piece of shit. But anyway, so he wasn't specific. But now I feel like I'm boring on this podcast.
No, we're fine. So what would you like to share? What more exciting thing would you want to share? Or do you want to do it in the outro, or do you want to do it still in the intro?
Well, I don't remember what I said. I never remember anything. That's the problem with these podcasts. You say things, and then you don't remember. And then later on, someone's like, fuck you, you piece of shit. And I'm like, I don't even know what I
said. I was with Bonnie, and Anya walked up. She goes, what are you doing? She goes, we're doing a non-recorded podcast. Because we were just talking.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I hope it was important, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
I think
it will be. What dates do you have coming up? Now, this will come out tomorrow. This will be on Monday.
Well, I think I plugged them already at the end of the episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
you
I think I plugged
ones?
Some of them.
Okay.
I can't remember which ones. I'll be in Dublin. Does anyone live in Ireland?
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, I'll be there. It's a big festival, July 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th.
Yeah, I'll be there right afterwards in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I can't wait. But anyways,
okay.
I can't remember.
Joe List Comedy. On Twitter.
At Joe List Comedy. And
he's super insecure, you guys. So if you like him, fuck him, please let him know.
Yeah, I will be blocking you.
You're
if
about
I get
to
negative
quit.
Things.
You're like about to quit, at least Twitter, if not comedy.
I would kill to quit comedy, but I only made $22,000 last year, so I can't quite quit.
That is a travesty.
Well, I've made more this year so far.
$22,000 a year? Is that taxable?
That's after taxes.
Oh, after taxes.
Yeah, I netted that.
What?
I netted 22.
Okay.
That's not
but
bad.
Grossing is like 31 or something.
Something like that, yeah. But it's only my 16th year doing comedy, so we'll see.
All right.
But anyways.
All right, here we go. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 227. The Herp. What's your list? More than I would love to make you itch. You're gonna need an ocean. A Palomar lotion. You'll be scratching like a hound. The minute you start to mess around. Poison ivy. Poison ivy. Late at night while you're sleeping, poison ivy comes to creeping around. We meander and stuff. Talk about whatever first, and then
digress.
Like Central Park, where we're here. Did I see you last time? Was that you were there, right? In Norman, where me and Dave Smith ran into you.
Yeah, yeah. Was this the podcast? Are we talking?
Yeah.
Am I talking into this?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw you.
That was pretty cool. And that one girl with the short shorts.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was a real episode. It was like a half hour of just staring, and then they realized
the worst.
And then, in like within 5 minutes, it went back. She covered it up for a minute.
She covered it up. It was like, ugh, these guys.
Yeah.
And then she forgot about it again.
But that was all. I think, like, some girl, I'm not one of these guys, like, they want us to look. Most girls, I think, don't want you to just stare.
Yeah.
But there are some, and that was one of them, that's like, everybody check out my ass cheeks.
God, it was so good.
It was so blatant and insane. And
what was it, like real loose denim shorts? Or am I remembering it wrong? Was it a bikini bottom?
Might have been a skirt situation.
Oh, maybe.
I can't remember. Maybe it was shorts, but it was a full ass
God, it
exposure.
Was fabulous.
And it was spectacular.
I mean, with Norman, there's no chance if you're not looking.
Right. And then we all just slowly turned our body. So we all just face it. It was like a TV, like dinner table scene on a sitcom where everyone's sitting on one side.
I think they want you to glance.
Yeah, maybe a glance they like.
I think that's maybe what they want. But then it's like, I don't know. I mean, you know the result here.
Right. It's hard because I know it's a cliched joke.
Yeah.
But for me as a guy, I would kill for a girl to be staring at me and be like, oh, look at that guy.
Yeah. I wonder if it would get old after a while.
I guess it would, probably.
You know, evidently, you ever see a celebrity or like if somebody you know, like somebody wants a picture taken, like, cool.
Right, right.
And then after, like you're Tom Cruise, you can't go anywhere. You're like, enough.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's hard because I've never been desired by a woman in any,
in any aspect.
In any way. So, well, seems like it'd be enjoyable. Yeah. This like guy over here, there's a man over here shirtless with jean shorts. People, girls must oogle at him a bit.
Does he have a good body?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's not bad from
the
back.
There's lines and stuff. It looks.
If I can see the front, I could tell if it's chiseled. But he's with a girl.
Yeah, he's European, that's for sure.
Dude, I was in Brazil, everybody wears Speedos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that idea that Speedos are gay.
Right.
That was like just shot out the window. These uber tough men with like just a piece of cloth around them.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the opposite of gay.
Right. It's very manly.
Yeah.
There are some that say having sex with the man's asshole is the manliest thing you can do.
Real, the most dominant?
Yeah. Like, I have a friend who tried to do it as a bit.
That's a good theory.
There's
yeah.
a couple, I've heard a couple people have that theory of, like, if you think about it, like, fucking, like, a man in the ass. It's like the manly. Yeah. Like, we're over here having sex with these effeminate little
All right.
people. These
it's
guys
like
are like a hard
WNBA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's not,
and it's you know it's naturally designed for intercourse.
Yeah,
but you fuck a guy, it's like fuck you.
Really for coming.
I feel bad about this. I'm a progressive guy, and you know, but the hardest I've ever laughed at a movie ever is the first sex scene in Brokeback Mountain. I could not stop laughing.
Rogan had a whole bit about it.
Oh, really?
He had like a 15-minute bit about it.
Oh, wow. I never heard it, so I feel I'm not ripping him off.
No, it's not.
but they're fist fighting, and then all of a sudden they're spitting in each other's assholes, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm very pro-gay, but that's hilarious.
Still
to me.
Hilarious, yeah.
Yeah.
He related to like you can't tell him what I should be getting out of this movie. He spit on his hand and then jammed in. No like gentle like around
right,
the edge.
Right, right.
Just like shoved it right in.
Yeah. It was
he
a
compared
rapey.
It to watching what was that Penguin movie? What was that Penguin movie?
Batman Returns?
No. That's a good guess. It's a documentary about penguins.
Oh, the Morgan Freeman joint.
Yeah.
March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins. But he was like, once the leopard seal tried to kill a penguin, he started cheering for the leopard seal. And he was like, we all appreciate movies on our own.
Right, right.
Whatever level.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, Brokeback Mountain was crazy.
I think it's a great movie. I love the movie.
Yeah.
But that's endlessly funny to me, is two men fist fighting and then just being their asshole.
And fucking. They didn't seem like that in Girls, where the gay guy, season 2, episode 1, the gay guy was like trying to be straight because he was drunk with a one pretty girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Allison Williams. Yeah, yeah.
Which one is he?
Allison Williams.
The black-haired one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Brian Williams' kid.
Brian Williams the liar?
Yeah.
Wow.
Allison Williams is my number one girl. I think she's the most beautiful woman
she's
I've ever
really
seen.
She's really pretty.
It's insane. Like, I love that show. There's a scene in one of those episodes where she masturbates.
Oh, yeah.
She hangs out with that artist guy.
Yeah. But what happened? That guy never came back. I thought for sure they were going to bone.
I don't know. No, they did. I think they dated for a while.
In season 2.
Maybe in season 3. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'm just started season 2. But you can spoil it. I don't care.
Oh. Well, the real recent season is a real piece of shit, I felt.
That what?
The most recent season.
Is a piece of shit?
It is so poorly done.
Tell me what you think of this, because I heard, without seeing it, that she showed nudity a lot more, Lena Dunham, in season 2 and maybe 3.
Yeah.
But my theory is that she got all these critical acclaim for being able to be open about her gross body. And then, so she goes, oh, really? And then she's like, now I'll just show it all the time.
Right. I guess. Well, I mean, that's not even my, like, complaint about the show. Like, now the show, like, none of it makes sense. There's no likability
oh, really?
About any of them. They're not even friends. The plot twists are insane. Like, it's all just absurd.
Every show, like, jumps a shark like that. Where, like, you have a good basis of a show, and now you have to go, like, overboard and have, like, stalkers and murders. And
right.
Like, that doesn't really happen to people in
right.
real life.
That's why
that
I think...
we know.
It seems like England, I don't know much about TV, but England, they do like one 10-episode season or two seasons.
Well, because they're artists.
Right.
And they're done with
right.
it. Like, we've explored this, now we're done.
Right,
like, but you
right.
can make more money. It's like, yeah, in something else.
Right. That's
I mean, imagine making like, I don't know, a good movie. What's a good movie? Old School. And they'd be like, cool, let's only do that for the next 10 years. Just make more old schools.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
It's lame.
A lot of people are doing that. That's all of Hollywood now.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like.
I mean, I didn't see Hangover 3, but Hangover 2 was like, I felt betrayed.
I didn't see either of them, but I love Hangover 1.
Yeah, Hangover 1 was amazing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, are you guys just milking this?
Right.
And we're paying for it?
I have a theory about Girls. If a man wrote that,
yeah.
this most recent season,
yeah.
he would be ostracized.
What?
It would be, because the women in the show, all four of them, are portrayed... like, so poorly. All of them are just horrible, horrible, self-centered cunts.
Oh.
And it's supposed to, I've asked people about this, and nobody agrees with me or anything. No women. I've been asking women about it. Like, I was like, at what point is she doing a disservice to women?
To women.
Like, she's portraying them as, like, backstabbing, cheating, fucking pieces of shit. Like, you would... if you just watched that show, you'd think girls in their 20s
that.
Are the worst people on
yeah,
earth.
Yeah, she fucked, I mean, even for a second, but, like, Allison Williams fucked... her friend's ex-boyfriend who turned gay.
Yes.
And that's why they broke it up. And like, you're going to fuck him? That's
right.
That's awful behavior. That's
yeah.
really going to hurt your friend.
The new season's like riddled with stuff like that.
Really?
They're just horrific people.
Yeah, I wonder that sometimes. We're like, if it wasn't a woman writing this, would it be like, great, womanhood, we can do it? Would it be like, you're making us look terrible?
Yeah, it'd be just a man portraying girls in their 20s as horrible human beings.
yeah.
And there are some wonderful women in their 20s. Don't get me wrong, there's some real whores and pieces of shit too, but that's each group. Oh boy, there's a group that got real close to us. I'm so nervous.
You feel weird about like talking in front of people? I do too, man.
I do. I feel like Paulie Cicero in Goodfellas. I don't want anyone hearing what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
I don't mind a podcast, but just civilians just sitting here listening to us,
listening to the conversation.
But
yeah, I get nervous sometimes when I break it out like in an airport or something. If I got to do an introduction, I'm like, I gotta like go to an abandoned terminal.
Right.
Terminal.
I just did Legion of Skanks out at Kumia's place. And there's like a couple like fan guys that I don't know.
Yeah.
And Lewis and Norman kept being like, are you all right? What's up with you? Are you not having fun? What do you feel sick? And I'm like, I don't know who these guys are. I don't want to talk around these two maniacs.
That's when people ask me to do this podcast like on a video. They're like, do a video. I'm like, I'd rather people just forget the fact that they're being recorded.
Right, right.
Just like be free.
Well, in this case, I'm holding a microphone. So
I know. But after a while, it kind of goes away. But I get it. It's false. That's the problem. Any sort of interview is like based in falsity.
Yeah. And TV and reality TV.
You know there's cameras on you.
Yes. And it's all been ruined because I know everything I've seen on TV, reality, I know they're like, let's get a shot of this
uh-huh.
or let's take that again.
Yeah, you can tell.
And so
there was one I realized it when I saw Bam Margera's show, Viva La Bam.
Yeah.
And he was all with all his buddies, and they were like doing something. They were being lifted up on a crane or something. And then they left them all there. And they're like, hey, guys, what the fuck? Come get us. But then there was a shot from on the crane and from on the bottom up to the crane.
Right.
And I'm like, where's the camera? Like, you put a cameraman up there to film them being stranded.
Right, right.
They're not really stranded.
Right. Yeah, that's all of TV. Maybe you actually know the right answer to this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but how do they have that shot of the moon? Like Neil Armstrong walking down the thing? How is that where is that camera set up?
I don't think that's one of the conspiracy theories. I think they're like, oh no, they just put it out, like, and then they staged the walking off.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an answer for it, but like
on both sides,
you see Neil Armstrong supposedly taking the first steps on the moon, but from a camera that seems to be set up away from the spaceship.
I think it was the Mexicans were there earlier, and then they were like hired them to like, get the shots.
It's very odd.
That's how it was in Thailand. You pay people like a couple baht to like take a picture of you, and they're like, oh my god, thank you, and it's worth like, you know, 6 cents.
Wow, I want to go there.
Yeah, it was amazing. You should go there with your girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm dying to go there, but you have to go with your girlfriend. I think people have this bit also, but you gotta go with a girl or else people think you're going to fuck children.
There's a ton of like British white guys with like paunch bellies and gray hair.
Yeah.
And they're just there to fuck. It's like a sexcation.
Wow,
it's creepy. I think a lot of times they're just there to see the place, and then they're like, oh, well, also you can just fuck.
Right, we could fuck kids while we're here, I guess.
I didn't see any of the kid fucking, but...
Well, kids, I mean, you know, 16-year-old people, isn't that legal or something there?
It is, and in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I read a thing once, or heard a thing once, I didn't read anything, that the statutory age here...
Yeah?
It's off. Because it's not based in women stop growing sexually at 16 and men stop growing sexually at 18.
Oh, interesting.
Physically. And we just said, okay, 18. And then we've just become to like agree that that's the age.
Yeah, when did that start? Because when you're a kid, every song, all these songs about 16-year-olds and whatnots, and people were marrying 16-year-olds.
Yeah, wasn't there some like metal guy, like a teenager like that, and then took on the road with him?
I don't know. Jerry Lee Lewis?
Like AC/DC type band?
I don't know.
Or Motley Crue.
I think there's a bunch of them here, all those stories.
Yeah. Chuck Berry, right?
Yeah, I think he's done a lot of weird shit. I know he filmed people in the bathroom.
Pissing on them?
Yeah. Not a good guy, Chuck Berry.
I get the pissing. I mean, I don't understand it, but I see why that could... But the filming...
Wait, what do you get? Getting peed on?
Yeah, or pissing on somebody. It's like a fetish, whatever.
But watching someone pee what's sexy about that, I think, is them undoing their pants and taking their pants down. Them sitting and pissing is not sexy, I don't think.
I've never been into that.
Someone taking their pants off?
No, yeah, but I mean, that's fine. But the pissing.
No.
It's like, ugh.
I'm not into it, but I am into, like, someone taking their pants off.
You ever watched a girl take a dump?
I'm really making an argument about taping girls' piss, but I've never watched a girl take a dump. My previous girlfriend would take a dump with, like, the door open.
Ugh.
Bit off-putting, yeah.
Does she not know how smell works or boners? That's horrifying.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I don't know.
To include you?
I think she was just like a girl. It was like a, hey, I don't give a shit, kind of like tomboy type girl.
You should.
Yeah. Yeah. We broke up, so.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with that.
Well, whatever. Thanks for doing my show, by the way, the other day. You were the best one.
Oh, thanks. That was fun. I love doing that show.
Yeah.
Thanks for splitting the money up. I'm telling everyone I know about that. You're a first class guy.
Thanks.
Yeah. Boy.
Yeah, tell everybody. Get the fucking word out. These things are possible. The UCB is the opposite extreme.
Yeah, those are horrible, horrible human beings over there. I shouldn't say they're horrible human beings, but,
they just don't respect comedy at all.
Yeah, they don't respect artistry.
Excuse me, they don't respect comedians.
Yeah.
They respect the art form because they're like making money off it and they value it, but
yeah,
they don't respect the people doing it.
Yeah, don't, I would say not to support UCB.
I turned my first gig down there. I mean, I came from LA where it's a really, it's just free comedy. That's what it is.
Right.
You know, occasionally the store, the seller, I mean, not the store, the seller, the factory, you get 15 and 20 bucks.
Right.
Something real nominal.
Right.
But like most of the bar shows are free, so no money comes in.
Right.
But like we're just used to doing comedy just for the stage time.
Yeah, I do shows at UCB, but they're, I needed the stage time as well.
Yeah.
It's hard to take stances when you're...
when you don't have leverage.
Yes.
When you need it. Right. Yeah, but the first time somebody asked me to do a show there, I was like, you know what? I think I might be done performing over there.
Right. Like Whiplash here in New York. That's like
it's
a killer
show.
But it's a free show. They don't make any money
on it. It is a free show.
Yeah.
Oh, then I'm golden with that.
That's a free show.
Yeah, as long as you can get it free. But they're like, in L.A., they're like, well, it's Besser. He was like, you know, with $5, we can't afford to, like, pay the comics. And they're like, well, then I don't charge $8.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Just
also,
seems wrong.
We talked about this the other night. Like, the bucket, they pass a bucket, but the artists are giving the speech.
Saying, please put money in the bucket.
Yes, so you...
As an audience member, you're like, cool, I'll support these artists.
Right.
But
and then Judah was telling us a story about the night Amy Poehler was there, and she gave the speech.
Oh.
She's like a millionaire asking, like, 20-year-old college kids for a buck.
Yeah, and then the money doesn't go to the artist.
Right.
It just goes, oh, it's just such, like...
Wild. But you split the door evenly. I mean, that's insane. I mean, I don't know how you even got the door deal.
I do not want to make money off comedians.
Wow. That's tremendous.
I mean, I'll make money with comedians.
Right.
You know, but off their backs, that's gross income.
But you say it like that, but you could pay everyone $50, which would be double what a normal spot pay would be, and still make a bunch of money for yourself, and you'd be paying double what everyone else would be paying.
And I'd still be generous, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think it's a slippery fucking... I just don't like making money off... I mean, I guess I'm promoting the show there for like... But still.
Yeah, you do a lot of work.
We did it for a charity for a while because I really did not want to have to deal with, like, it was a $5 show in L.A. And I was like, I don't want to split this up for $18 a person.
Right.
And so it's like, just give it to fucking...
Wow.
But don't take it for yourself because that's when you get into trouble. Those are the people who always, like, embezzle the...
Right, right.
The money comes in, everybody hates them.
Well, you're a good guy.
And, yeah, but then Fitzsimmons was like, fuck charity. Give me $100. like they have money coming in now.
Well, it's hard because comics, we're not making a lot of money. We work very hard for not very much money.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like you cash in majorly, like 15 years later.
Yeah, it's like a roulette. It's like the best payoff if you hit.
If you hit, yeah, it's 30, but, 32 to 1 or whatever
right,
it is.
But
generally, it's lose. 32 to 1.
Right. I think it's 36 to 1.
36.
Yeah. But there's 38 numbers. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
I got a crazy story about that. This guy, it's a friend of mine. I'm not a close friend, but my closest friend is his friend. It doesn't matter. It's a guy I know. He's married. His mother-in-law was like dying, deathbed, cancer, the whole thing, stomach's rotting out, whatever.
Yeah.
And his wife calls, was like, you gotta get to the hospital. This is the last day. So he's driving to the hospital with his brother-in-law, his wife's brother, and is to go like say goodbye to his mother, and his brother-in-law is like, hey, let's stop at the casino. He's like, I'm sad. My mother's dying. He's like, I just need a distraction. And my friend Tim is like, we can't do that. That's insane. He's like, my wife will kill me. Your sister will kill me. He's like, come on, let's just stop. So they go in there, and Tim's never gambled, never played roulette or anything. He puts $10 on 18.
Yeah.
Comes up and hits.
Wow.
36 to 1. So he gets $360. And he's not a gambler. He just goes, let it ride.
What?
He just goes, keep it. That's not even a term. That's not even a roulette term. Yeah. He's like, let it ride. So he leaves $360 on 18. It hits a second time.
No fucking way.
Twice in a row. He's up like $12,000. They have to like call the pit boss, the whole scene. He's got to like sign paperwork. He ends up like filling like a backpack, like some duffel bag full of cash. And he goes to like his mother's deathbed with like 12 grand in his bag, but he can't tell anybody.
Because it's so rude.
So he's just like sitting on this. So he calls my buddy, my best friend, Derek. He calls him in the from the bathroom of the hospital
of
room.
Deathbed, yeah.
And he's like, he's like, hey, man. He's like, I got to tell somebody this. He's like, I'm at my mother-in-law's, you know, deathbed. He's like, I got $12,000 in a backpack. He's like, it's insane.
Wow, he's got to like morally launder that money.
Right.
find it come in from another time.
Well, we were laughing about it. It's like, at what point can you tell it? Like, maybe she dies and you're just driving back and you're like, well, baby, I got some good news, you know?
You have to like do it like, I don't know, man, I just needed to feel something.
Right,
you have
right.
to do it like that. You have to really justify it ahead of time.
Or say you did it the next day, I guess. But.
Oh, yeah, you could totally lie. That's like that Seinfeld. Wait, when did you stop for Juju Fruits?
Right, yeah, it's exactly like that. Jake Jarmel.
Who?
Jake Jarmel.
Jarmel, yeah. Man, that show was good.
The best one. That's the best show.
You think so?
I don't even think it's close, but I've only watched like three shows. I'm not a big TV guy, but
that, Two and a Half Men, and Big Bang Theory,
and, like, yeah, and according to Jim,
it's by far the best one.
But it's, I mean, it's so unbelievably good. I've tried to watch other shows, and they're just so phony. And
so many classic episodes. Yeah, it's that that falseness too of like, now let's make this into a moral.
Right.
I'm like, why? Those don't exist in nature.
Right. I hate it. I hate sitcoms. Some people
like, for those stories I do, some of them online and stuff, people are like, there's no like morally redeeming qualities here. They didn't, like, there's nothing he learned from this horrible behavior.
Right.
And I want to be like, yeah, because it's not a script. It's just some shit that happened.
Right, right.
I'm sharing it because I'm embarrassed about how horrible it was.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, no, there was no like, and I learned something that day because I didn't.
Oh. Wow, those people are dumb.
What?
Those people are dumb.
I mean, they're, yeah.
Now, you're just constantly getting flack online, Twitter, Facebook, all that
it's
shit?
It's been, blogs? Like, way over a decade.
Wow. That's
I've
amazing.
Got death threats since probably 2004, 5.
Right.
Consistent. Like, never a year goes by where I don't get a dozen death threats.
And no, nothing's
full on,
ever
like,
come
gonna
of it.
I'm going to kill you. I hired the cartel. That's a new one. I hired the cartel to fucking take a hit out on you.
Wow. And that doesn't make you nervous or uneasy?
It did for the first, like, few weeks. And then I realized what internet rage is.
Right.
It's a different kind of rage.
Wow.
You can't be heard if you just say, I didn't like this. You blend right. in too much. But if somebody after a show goes and says to you, like, I really didn't like that bit you did, that'll probably affect you or stick with you a little bit.
Right.
But online, you can't stick out that way. So you got to be like, I want you to get AIDS and right. give it to your mom.
Right, right. Boy, if you got murdered, though, you'd be considered, like, the greatest comic ever. Don't you kind of think about that? If someone, like, if some fan shot you?
Yeah.
You'd be just...
Yeah, I do think that a lot. My friend told me, like, stay safe in Thailand. You know, like, people, like, don't do drugs and be careful out there. I'm like, I don't know, man. He goes, no, you don't want to die like that. I'm like, I know, but I don't want to die at all, but I would like to die like that.
Right. Every bit just gets considered to be, like, 30% better.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If you're murdered by, like, a...
Have you noticed that? The comics who die, they get revered on a higher level than when before they died?
Of course.
Yeah, I get it for the first week or two, but then everyone's like, they were just brilliant. They were brilliant.
Right.
Like,
and they're also all friends with them, too.
Yeah. They pass this guy, Angelo Bowers, who was really cool, funny young comic, you know? Yeah. One-liners, but like real fun, kind of tellish.
Yeah.
And he died in a car accident. Some drunk driver sideswiped somebody and then like...
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody loved him. And they passed him at the Comedy Store afterwards. Like, you know what? He was good enough to be a paid regular. We're going to put his name on the wall. And it's like, he was trying to.
Right.
The week before he died, you were rejecting him.
Right.
You were saying not good enough.
Oh, wow.
He hasn't had another showcase. He has not shown improvement
right.
since he died.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah, you should have passed him before.
Right.
But, like, yeah.
Wow. Well, he's killing it up in the sky now. Hey, folks.
Make God laugh. That's like the normal.
That big, yeah. Heaven just got a lot funnier. Every time someone writes that, they're just, I'm like, you're a piece of shit, hack, idiot.
Yeah.
Sorry, maybe that was too much.
God must love assholes. God. He always keeps them alive.
Hey, heaven's a lot funnier than it was yesterday.
I don't think you make jokes in heaven.
Right.
I don't think you continue your career.
There's no club.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one time nobody wants to be like, eternal darkness has just gotten funnier.
Yes.
Your also, ceaseless soul.
If I go to heaven, I don't want to go on.
Yeah.
Like, you want to do some time? Like, no.
I like how I never know how to picture people in heaven, too. It's like, is it what you look like right before you died, or do you get to, like, go to your old, like, the preferred age?
Yeah, I always think that, too. Like, the old thing, like, I'll be playing, like, horseshoes, and, like, I'll throw, like, a ringer, and someone's like, oh, Gramp's smiling down at that one. I'm like, that's what heaven is? He's watching us play horseshoes? That's heaven?
Yeah.
He's just watching a shitty
like this
family.
Boring game yeah. and smiling because he's so bored.
Right.
Like, I get no entertainment up here.
He can't see Hendrix or whatever.
There's no Netflix connection. Yeah, you can't see Hendrix play.
Right.
Exactly.
You can watch a horseshoe.
Man, this lawn is not that comfortable.
No, it's a little lumpy.
It's lumpy.
But, you know, I brought chocolate chip cookies, too, if you
really?
Want a chocolate chip cookie.
For sure, dude. Let's go a little bit, and then I'll eat some.
They're real good, cookies. Yeah.
Really? Where'd you get them?
Panera Bread.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one time, they have amazing cookies at Panera Bread. One time I was there, I was writing, and there was this guy, African-American gentleman, on the phone next to me.
Yeah.
And you can only hear, like, one half of the conversation. He's like, nah, man. I'm at the cookie joint. And then you don't hear the other guy, you just hear... The cookie joint.
Like, he called
Panera Bread is the cookie joint. Not the bread joint.
Insomnia cookie.
Right. It's not the bread joint.
Named after a less sugary type of bread.
I would say that, like, a lot of people aren't even aware that Panera Bread sells cookies.
Yeah.
But to him, it's the cookie joint.
I did not know.
Joint.
I thought it was just sandwiches.
That's how good the cookies are. It's the cookie joint. And I love that the other guy was like this, what cookie joint? He's like, cookie joint. And this is in New York City where, like, there's like 100 businesses dedicated. Yeah.
You remember the Milk Bar?
Yes.
Not that big a fan.
Really?
I love Momofuku or whatever it is.
Wait, Milk Bar, there's one called Milk and Cookies. The one in the Village? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Oh, yeah, in the East Village.
There's one in the West Village called Milk and Cookies, not far from the Cellar.
Really?
Yeah, and all they sell is milk and cookies, and they're good. It's good.
Maybe that's the one I should be going to, not Milk Bar.
Yeah,
it's the guy who runs Momofuku. Momofuku?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But maybe that's a different one. Yeah, I'll go that. I love sweets, man.
The best chocolate chip cookie I've ever had is in Los Angeles. Tommy Jonigan brought me there. It's right next to his house. I forget the name of it, though. Fuck me. It might be Milk something.
Where is it? What neighborhood?
It's on... I don't even know what neighborhood that's considered. I guess it's Hollywood. It's like on Wilshire, maybe? I don't know that well. Fuck.
Wilshire's so long.
Yeah.
It goes like to Santa Monica, downtown LA, the barrio.
Yeah, I don't know where it is then. I should get more info before I start bringing it up on podcasts.
It's like saying it's on, you know, 4th Avenue or 3rd Avenue.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not...
Right, right. Yeah, I got no neighborhood.
Well, whatever. It happens.
Yep. Well, it's a good cookie.
I had to stop eating. Why is that still going on?
The horses?
Yeah.
There's two horses going by. I think people like to look at horses.
Horse cop, I mean, like... She bicycle by now, right?
Yeah. Or even those Segways.
I mean, have you ever seen them take off after somebody on a horse?
No, never. Well, these are park ranger guys.
Yeah. But so what? You know? I mean, this park... There's all sorts of parks. Why horses?
These horses have the longest tails I've ever seen. They're dragging on the ground.
Wow, you're right. They're like hippie chicks.
It looks like a chick with long hair is eating out the horse's asshole. Like, just buried.
Just in there.
Face deep
in the horse's ass. Just tie me on. I want to do it when they have motion. You've ridden horses?
No, I've ridden a camel in the Middle East.
Really?
Yeah. In Kuwait. It's a camel situation.
Man, I want to go to the Middle East, but...
God, I'm going back. I'm going to Bahrain and...
Really?
What's the other one there?
For the troops?
Dubai.
For troops?
No, this is like expats, I think. A few people have done it. I did go to the troops. I did Iraq and Kuwait back in the day.
Expats. And so you go there for a while?
It's like a week, 10 days, I think.
Damn. And you go to like the markets and shit? And, like,
I think so, yeah.
It's pretty safe?
Yeah, Bahrain, Dubai.
You think it's safe for Jews?
I don't know. You see, you look like a Jew.
I look like a Jew.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, I guess I say this a lot, but I think most people are totally cool over there. But the ones who aren't cool are so uncool with
Jews. They're really uncool. Like, chop your head off uncool.
Yeah.
That's most people, I think, in the planet. I think most people are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool, but I mean, like, not violent towards people.
Another.
Yeah. Not hip, necessarily. But,
yeah.
I didn't know, I guess, I mean, I know, but, like, I went to Kuwait and Iraq with Louis Katz, and he was, like, real nervous going into Kuwait. And
really?
They sell things where, like, you can... take pages out or cover the pages that have, like, Israeli stamps on them, he was telling me.
To cover them up so they won't see them?
Yeah. So, like, there's, like, a page that goes over the page that has the Israel stamp. So, you like, people... So they're not, like, opening and being like, you've been to Israel, motherfucker, or whatever. Cut your nose off, whatever happens. He didn't, but...
Louis is one of those Jews, like, the sickly white Jews.
Yeah.
The
red
Jews.
Yeah, he's very Jewy. Jewy cats, I call him.
I look at him sometimes. I'm like, oh, I see what they see now. I kind of get it.
Jewish is a weird thing to hate. Mark Norman has a great bit where he's like, it's weird to hate a group that, like, you can't necessarily tell if they're part of that group.
Yeah.
He's like, I think I hate that guy. I can't tell.
He passes for Jew a lot.
Yeah. I get Jewish a lot, too, because I'm very, what's that word? When you're
feeble?
Neurosis.
Oh, neurosis.
Neurotic.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous. I think people get mad at me.
That's a sign of Judaism.
Yeah.
Of those whites. That's not an Israel. That's not a Gary Goldman thing.
Right. But I think, you know, all those guys have...
Neurotic, yeah.
Yeah, I'm neurotic. I have glasses. I'm skinny.
I feel like the Jew's souls makes this sound.
Right.
Like, it's just consistent.
Yeah, the Jews. I was an adult before I started realizing that Jews were different, and there was some sort of hatred against. It was a whole thing.
Really?
I mean, I knew about the Nazis and stuff. I just thought they were kooks.
I heard a comic once, Brian Holtzman. He asked somebody in the front row. It's like she was Jewish. He's like, "Oh, you're Jew." He's like, "Why do people hate you so much?" She was like, "I don't know." He goes, "I never think to ask. If everyone hated me. You think I'd ask? What's up?"
It's very odd.
Yeah, I think it's because we stick to ourselves, and we've met that with some success.
Yeah, you have power.
But, like, it predated the power.
Right.
I mean, they were poor, like, people in Europe for the longest time.
Right, right.
And there was already the hatred there.
Fascinating. I don't know.
I mean, maybe we should be hated. Maybe just inherently.
Yeah,
we're not good people.
Always funny guys.
Yeah.
A lot of really funny
Nietzsche
guys.
Used to talk about it. He saw that coming, you know, the stuff, like, you know, 1925 or 30. He was like, he could feel the...
Who said this?
Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh, I've heard of that guy. Comic?
No. No, he's up in Broadway.
He's like a vaudeville guy, right?
But he was like, guys, this is bad news. They're good academics. We shouldn't be getting rid of them.
Oh, wow.
So, I wonder if we should start talking about these herpes stuff before we move to a different spot.
Oh, are we moving?
I don't know. It feels uncomfortable.
I'm making it work.
Okay. You look like you're in the most uncomfortable stance.
I look like I'm trying to look comfortable, but I'm horrifically uncomfortable,
yeah.
Which is what's happening.
Like Costanza posing for those pictures.
Right. There's a beautiful girl over here that just laid down, and she looks real
which
nice.
One, with the bow? Or are you seeing
with,
one
with the gray here, with the feet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love a barefoot in the park.
That Sheep's Meadow is pretty nice, though, too.
Yeah, it's great, but it's going to be super crowded.
Yeah,
were
those guys
sunny.
Throwing that frisbee over our heads?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, didn't care for it.
Yeah.
You guys are coming too close.
There's a lot of that. Well, I brought a frisbee, so we can be those guys if
yeah,
we want
absolutely.
After this.
I want to dive over someone's prone body, and like make the catch.
I'm for it.
Yeah, just like, you're good. I didn't touch you. Just really be like an issue
right.
For people's enjoyment.
One time we were there, and Luis Gomez tried fighting people because they were yelling at us about playing frisbee. So he kept slapping the frisbee at them so they would try to start a fight.
What do you mean slap the frisbee at them?
Like I would throw the frisbee to Lewis, and instead of catching it, he would like slap it down towards them so it would hit them, and they would say something.
Giving them reason to...
Yeah, yeah. He was trying to instigate, as they say.
God, he just does that.
See, Puerto Ricans, that's a group I could see hating.
Yeah. They're violent.
Yeah, violent. The knives, the yelling.
The knives.
Just kidding. Don't
knife me.
Don't death threat me. I'm not as calm as Ari.
Yeah, well, that's why everybody now, where they're like any like sort of like feminist or other, anyone, an athlete, anybody, they're like, I get death threats. And it's like, yeah, man, that's just internet. You
right.
just don't know what the internet is.
Right.
Those aren't real death threats. And yeah. Police, like, we take this very seriously. I'm like, you shouldn't.
Have you talked to the police about any of your death threats?
Yeah, one time I was like, listen, don't just tell this guy to stop calling. Can you just scare this kid?
Oh, he was calling
yeah,
you?
Yeah, my phone number was out. As soon as those Amazing Racist clips hit the internet, like somebody ripped them from the DVD they were on,
yeah.
National Lampoon's DVD, and they just took them out of context without any, like, this is for a comedy thing.
Right.
It's just like, look at what this guy is doing.
Right, right.
And I used my real name, which is probably not a good idea. I'm Ari Shaffir, and I'm the Amazing Racist. It's probably smart, but it was pre-internet when I did it. Pre-YouTube, anyway.
Right.
But anyway... Then it got ripped, and everyone's like, who is this guy? And the first thing that came up was my friend Duncan Trussell. He had said he had like made a website, an early comic made a website, and he was like, if you prank call my friend Ari Shaffir, I'll give you $20.
Oh,
here's
wow.
his number. So you have to click on the link. Just the first Google thing says Ari Shaffir, 323-65, whatever it was.
Oh, my
then.
God.
So they just started pouring in, the phone calls.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh, no, the messages are amazing. Yeah, because I hired those guys to build a deck, and I was like, they were like, I'll build a deck in your ass, Holmes. That was one of them. But this one guy wouldn't stop.
It's a small deck.
Yeah. Well, I have a big ass. And so I just called the cops, like, just yell at him to stop.
Right.
Like, he's not considering killing me, but it's annoying.
Right.
Yeah, the cop showed up, and I had to, like, because I had to call, and he, like, showed up, and it was a black guy. I had to, like, try to show them what this was. I'm like, oh, this is going to be awful. I'm like, why is he threatening it to you? I'm like, because I did these videos online, and he, like, misconstrued them. He's like, what videos? Can I see? I'm like, oh, man, you're going to misconstrue it, too.
It's hilarious. Like, if you told him, then he just shoots you.
Yeah. I actually did tell him. He had heard of him. He saw him. They've been passed around the office.
Oh, wow.
He's like, oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Okay, he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Well, because cops are racist.
Cops are racist.
They like that kind of humor.
A bunch of cops got fired in Seattle for passing those videos around.
Really?
On company email.
Wow. Boy, that thing, I guess I watched a few of those years ago, and I didn't realize how big they were. I'm very self-involved, so I don't know what's going on outside of my own.
They just
apartment.
Get rediscovered by 14-year-olds all the time.
Right.
Or some like Mexican like.
Well, then the more time that passes, the more wild and irreverent they are because the times are getting less.
That's a weird thing about the social justice people.
Yeah.
Where like you're judging people on an earlier set of standards.
Right.
Like Burr has that bit about Duck Dynasty guy. Like when he learned, he was pretty progressive, and then no one told him that homosexuality was cool now.
Right.
Set in his ways. And
right.
He was at 40 or 50, 60 or 70.
Right.
You're judging him based on like, he was always like, yeah, I know that, like, what was the bit? I know the answer to this. Yeah, that's wrong, right?
Right. I can't remember the bit, but I remember seeing it and thinking that was
like,
funny.
Yeah, you're evil. I'm like, what? I am.
That's like,
why don't you just go to church?
That's like Artie Lang was doing a bit about Bruce Jenner, and he's like, yeah, I'm for it. He's like, do the thing, but can I get, I have to immediately accept this?
Right.
He's like, I can't get a couple months. He's like, this guy was like my hero when I was a kid. He's like, I grew up in the 70s. He's like, this guy was the man, the decathlon champion, greatest athlete of all time, and now he's a woman. I'm just supposed to immediately be like, great, good
Greg,
for him.
We're all fine. Yeah, it's like, I'm not learning on the same pace that you're learning.
Right.
And so then you're lobbing these ignorant insults at people.
Right.
You're like, yeah, that means educate them. It doesn't mean like ostracize them.
Right.
Ignorant is not an insult. It means they weren't made aware.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, but it's had this connotation now of like, kick him out of the country. He's ignorant.
Yeah.
Natasha once. It was like right after we broke up and everyone was like choosing sides.
Natasha Leggero?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know you dated.
Yeah, for a little while. So some people were like going out of the way to be like, fuck her, to my face. I'm sure she had the same thing.
Right.
You know, that's what happens in breakups.
Right.
But someone was like, Jody, she was like, I told her about Mitch Hedberg dying. And it was like 8 months to a year afterwards. She was like, she didn't even heard it. She didn't even know he had died. And I was like, oh, wow. She goes, oh, can you believe that? What kind of comic wouldn't know that?
Right.
And I'm like, it's not like she took the information in and then said, I don't want this in my brain. I'm pushing it out. She just never came across someone talking about Mitch Hedberg now.
Right. That reminds me when you were kids, people would always say that, like, you don't know what fucking felching is? You don't know? I'm like, no, I don't know what he told me before.
Yeah.
People would do that all the time.
Please explain instead of holding it back and mocking.
That was like a whole thing. Well, I mean, when you're kids, people do it, they'll find a thing out and then, like, 2 hours later, they're like shitting on you for not knowing it.
Yeah, I just found this thing out.
But I remember just being like, I don't know, just tell me the thing, and then this, we could circumvent all of this. I will then know.
And we can talk about it. We can have a nice talk about felching. We're really missing an opportunity here because it's pretty ridiculous.
Actually, come to think of it, I'm not sure I know what felching is now. I'm sure I've heard it.
I believe it's when you come into a man's anyone's asshole. Sorry, I shouldn't be gender normative. But when you come into an asshole and then eat out the cum.
Oh, is that right?
With or without a straw.
Oh, wow. That's felching?
Yeah.
No shit. Maybe I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. I thought it was something to do with vomit or shitting or something. Well, I guess it has a
sort of shitting, white shit.
Probably vomiting as well.
Yeah, afterwards. White shit, they call it.
Oh, wow.
They should do a Beverly Hills Billies felching. Anyone on here who's creative, go ahead and go for that. You don't have to give me credit.
Get on it.
Just make it. Make that video. White gold, they call it, and just have. Anyway.
I'm not into the felch scene.
No, I'm not either. Some of those things are like, okay, this is just way too much for me.
Yeah. I like a standard sex, maybe a high heel.
That's about it. Do you like high heels on a girl?
Love it. That's my numero. I'm doing a bit about it, but like I don't like high heels out on the street because they're too impractical.
Impractical.
I feel guilty. But I like it in bed. I like a girl naked with a high heel. It's so sexy. It's like
bedroom heels.
Yes, bedroom heels. I'm doing a joke about like what I can't pull that off as a guy naked with shoes on. I look like a baby that rolled away from his mother while she was changing him. Hello, folks.
Sometimes if I'm on a bed and the girl is on the bed, I'm standing up next to the bed.
Right.
You know, so you're basing off your feet. The problem is unless you have carpet, your feet kind of slide backwards.
Yes. Right.
I want some sneakers for that.
Right.
Just for the traction.
A fuck shoe. Or maybe a yoga mat.
A fuck shoe.
Or something.
Yeah, it's a sort of fuck shoe.
I've had sex with just socks on. That's always embarrassing.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. That you really slide.
Yeah. That's no good. Oh,
yeah. Also, it looks like an old man.
You look real silly.
Get those socks off.
But sometimes you're fucking in the moment. You don't want to take a sock off. And then it's not until you finish that you're like, I look like an ass. I got a condom on and two socks.
One sock, I think, is an okay look.
Yeah.
Because that seems like passionate.
A little more disheveled, yeah.
Yeah. But, I like fucking with clothes mostly on now sometimes.
Really?
It's like a such an in-the-moment thing where, like, I don't know, your bra's still on.
You got a heavy girlfriend, too?
Shirts. You know, it's like, I don't want to look at your body.
Oh, I like an all-nude. But I like a clothes, like a dress on, like a dress, up the dress thing. I like the sex where it feels like we just snuck off and we can go back into the office.
You ever done it in a bathroom?
No. Oh, maybe.
Like a
public? I have fucked in the bathroom, but in a hotel bathroom.
Oh, right.
I fucked a heavy girl one time who broke tiles.
A heavy girl?
Yeah.
Broke tiles with her weight?
I don't know how it happened, but
karate?
I assume weight had something to do with it. It was weight and movement. It was a bad scene.
And then you broke the tiles you were standing on?
Yes. Really heavy girl. And then at one point she was peeing and blowing me. I was like standing up and she was blowing me while she was pissing. And she had like the heaviest stream. It sounded like a fire hose. And it was real disgusting. It was like a... it was pretty wild.
Where was this?
This was years ago. My friend Tom Dustin, who's a wonderful comic, he was in the room fucking a different girl. He was fucking her... a grandmother who was on her period. It was a pretty wild fuck fest.
A young grandmother?
Yeah, she was probably like 50. Like, she was young enough to have her period, so I don't know what age you stop having that. 55, I think, or something like that.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it was pretty wild. This is in Plattsburgh, New York. And we did a gig, and we were just trying to fuck anybody. And we started chatting these two girls.
That's what your goal was?
Yeah, we just got to get laid.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and I ended up fucking like a... This girl was probably like 220 pounds.
What? I would have thought Plattsburgh would have been like San Diego.
She was big and heavy, and then he was fucking next to her. Like, we were at, you know, dual beds, whatever, and he was fucking her, and there was blood everywhere over there, and then just... fat and sweat over here.
I did it with a girl on her period once in Denver. She didn't tell me. I went to the bathroom to, like, you know what, pee in between, you know, and it was like, oh. And it was like all over my face and my dick.
Oh my god.
Yeah, anyway, the next day, I mean that bed was just, I mean, she was not like towards the end, she was heavy flowing,
right?
And so my friend Brian Redband came in my room the next day, and I was on my computer, like, over there. The bed was over here, and he came in from, like, this way.
Yeah.
And the covers were all, like, up, like, in a little mound.
Yeah.
You know, in the middle. And so we couldn't see the pool of blood that was on the other side of that mountain. And he was like, we were just talking for a minute, and then he, like, walked around, and he was just like, oh! What is this? What happened here?
It's like the horse head scene in Godfather.
Yeah.
That's cool. I haven't had period sex in a long time. My current girlfriend and I we're just not into that scene.
Well, once you have a girlfriend, it's like, let's just wait until you're
off. Yeah, exactly.
Period.
You hold it out. Yeah,
that's only when you're like, this is now or never. So I'll for courts up
right.
for this.
That's a good point. Yeah, because some people give me shit. They're like, you don't have sex on your period. I'm like, I don't know. You wait 3 days.
Well, that's
days.
A vacuum. That's saying it in a vacuum. You don't have sex in your period. We do have sex when I'm not. When she's not. In period.
Right. We have sex. You know.
No, it's messy. You don't have sex right after you come back from basketball.
Right.
Fucking clean up.
you clean it up a little bit. So it's been a long time since I've dabbled in that scene.
I've had girls go like, let's just do it in the shower.
No, that's not bad.
Oh, yeah. And but the blood also, runs down like fucking psycho.
Yeah, that's fun. But it tends to dry up a little bit when they're on their period, I find.
Oh, yeah.
Because the blood starts to coagulate or dry, whatever. I don't know what coagulate means, but it's a fun word to use, so I try to.
Well, I have rapist dick, so the only way I can get hard as a woman is dry.
What's rapist dick?
The only way I can get hard is if a woman is dry.
Oh, I see.
So even if she's enjoying it, I'll, like, tweak her forehead until she's like, stop, it's really annoying. And then she dries up, like, now I can enjoy this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's not true, but...
Yeah, I didn't think so, but...
It's tough making jokes to the audience.
Is that a real term?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like it might be a real thing, and then I thought maybe, you know, it's a shape, rapist dick. Yeah, it's like sideways or crooked or something.
Comes in from undercover.
It's got claw marks. Well... A couple of nice people just walked by us right as we were talking about raping dicks.
Yeah. Fucking pigeons. Yeah, it's tough when they come by at a really, like, inopportune moment.
Right. Just two guys talking about rape into microphones.
In a public park.
Here on a nice, beautiful day.
Children all around.
The 4th of July.
Enjoy your 4th. Is today July 3rd?
July 3rd. It's the 3rd of July.
This is the first time I took mushrooms. It was July 3rd, and it was a day like this.
Oh, wow.
Where it was, like, a national holiday, but we didn't expect it.
Wow.
Because it was, like, weekday. You know?
Right, right.
I think it was Monday and July 4th was Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we went to the promenade in San Diego, but it was filled with children, and it was just like, fuck, oh, wow. There were mushrooms and there's kids around.
I've never taken mushrooms before. It seems
what?
Really enjoyable, yeah.
Why?
Well, before, when I was still drinking and doing drugs, I was a mental case. I had horrible panic disorder and anxiety and depression. And so it always seemed like mushroom, like a, what do you call that? What's it called? A kind of drug?
Psychedelic?
Hallucinogen. Yeah, a psychedelic. It seems like it would fuck me. I'd lose my mind. Because I was having panic attacks just with regular head.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But looking
no.
back, maybe it would have helped and
no,
helped all
sure
that.
Help.
Yeah,
not for sure. 95% it would have helped.
Yeah, maybe. So maybe someday I will. But now I'm sober, so it's
completely
harder,
sober.
But yeah,
I know a lot of people don't include that in their sobriety.
Like, well, Bill Hicks, I know was he was sober and would take mushrooms.
Would he really?
After he was found out he was dying and stuff, because
right.
he was a big
so
mushroom guy.
Oh, really?
And then, but
maybe
I think he
I
would,
like
even though because he was one of these guys, and maybe you're like this too, that believed it was like you should be taking mushrooms.
Yeah, I think
it was
so.
Like wonderful.
I think once a year.
Really?
It's like just to reset, maybe a year and a half, but like. But like minimum.
Yeah, it's really mind-opening, eye-opening, asshole-opening.
Michelle Wolf just took him.
Oh, really?
The first time at Bonnaroo.
Wow.
You should just hear her talking about him.
Loved it?
She loved it. She's wow. like, I don't have to... She's like, you could... It's okay, here's what it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want you to relapse. You know? I try to get my friend Nick Youssef to take him too, and he's like, I'm sober. It'll lead me down a terrible road.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I get that, but this isn't drugs. They just call it drugs.
Right.
They're just putting in that category.
Hmm.
Although I guess alcohol is not either, so I don't know.
But alcohol is a drug, I think.
But it takes you out of yourself. It
right.
lets you look at yourself from a completely like non-egotistical way.
Right.
You're like just like I'm observing that guy. He looks like he's in love with that girl, and then I'm observing another person, and then I'm observing that guy. I'm like, oh, that guy's me.
Right.
So you can look at yourself from completely outside.
Wow.
And you can say like, oh, I don't like that behavior, or
right.
I do like that behavior. I should do it more.
Well, that's what you're trying to do with like meditation and Buddhism and
yeah,
like
all those Buddhists, they love mushrooms.
Well, I've heard Shang Wang was telling me that now they're trying to get them sort of passed as like medicinal for like cancer patients. Have you ever heard
psilocybin?
About this? I don't know what that is.
That's the active ingredient in much like THC for weed.
Oh, okay.
Do you know
well,
what that is?
There's people with like terminally cancer and they put them in a room like controlled. And, like, they give them, like, mushrooms, and they just kind of sit there and meditate. And these people end up, like, seeing their disease and seeing it as, like, a thing of, like, oh, you're just a part of me.
Oh.
And they start to, like, accept it and, like, make friends with their, like, disease.
Their
and they become very at one with their disease. And they find it very helpful.
Comforting.
Yeah. Of just, like, oh, you're just something that's growing inside of me. You belong in me.
Yeah, I think I read this report that they were doing that, and the wife... was like she didn't want her husband to take the at first because the mushrooms because she was like I felt like it was him giving up like I'll just take drugs until I die
right
but she was like no it's not that he's still fighting the cancer
right
he's just less like crazy all the time and depressed
interesting
it really helps with depression
wow
I mean that really helped I really helped my depression
wow see I don't really have depression anymore but when I get sad.
Yeah, Michelle starts saying she can do anything she wants, like, alone. She doesn't have to be with people and, like, wait for people to, like, validate her, like, actions.
She's in Paris right now by herself.
She already made those reservations before.
Right.
I was like, did you get that out of that? She goes, no.
That's funny.
Yeah, she just left Paris today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should... has Sarah ever taken him?
I don't know if she did. She did LSD, I think, or acid, whatever.
That's cool, too. It doesn't give you the same introspective, like...
Right. I don't know. I imagine she did. She did a lot of drugs.
Man,
she wasn't a drug addict.
My Orthodox Jewish like rabbi friend.
Yeah.
He's like teaching in Israel and like a seminary in Israel.
Yeah.
I'm like, you should take mushrooms. He goes, there's no way you're going to convince me to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's good. It helps you. Like, God gave us mushrooms for a reason, right?
And are they natural or something added
they're
to
natural.
Them?
No. They're natural.
Really?
I mean, you can cultivate them in better light or worse light or run more water through them.
Right.
There's no like.
Wow. And then you throw up when you eat them, too, don't
sometimes.
You?
Sometimes.
Yeah, they're, like, nasty or what?
No. You don't throw up because of the taste.
Oh, okay.
The taste is sort of nasty, but you just chase it with Sprite or Coke or potato chips. It's gone
right.
in 30 seconds, the taste.
Right.
But or put it on peanut butter. But you throw up because your body's rejecting it.
Oh, wow. That doesn't sound good.
I know, but it's like, chili peppers, their defense mechanism is their heat, but it's also what makes us want to kill them. And eat them.
Yeah, their music makes you want to kill them. Hello, folks. How you doing?
But the mushrooms, that's its defense mechanism. Like, you'll get fucked up if you eat me.
Right, right.
But, like, so your body tries to reject it, but it doesn't matter. It's already in there. So you can throw up, and then you still have a good trip. I've thrown up on mushrooms before.
And how long are you tripping for?
4 to 5 hours. That By the way, Shroom Fest is August 29th through 31st. All right. People all over the world are doing mushrooms. So if you were looking for an excuse.
And where do you go? You go to the park? What do you do?
You can go to the park, absolutely.
You have to have like a really controlled group, right? Like a good people. You can't have like some maniac that you hate walking in.
You definitely don't want somebody you hate. Right. You definitely don't want that.
Right.
But I don't think you need as much of a controlled group as you think.
Right.
I don't think that at all.
Because Mike Campbell, he's a big mushroom guy. He's always pushing them on me.
Oh, is he really?
Not pushing them on me, but talking about how wonderful they are.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It just helps you really think clearly. My friend Willie had this realization. He was like shitting on some Vine comic.
Yeah.
He wasn't a very good comic. You know, before, but she hit humongous on Vine. She got like a million followers, and it's like, and he was, you know, he's like a newer comic. So you know how it is. You're like, fuck that guy. He shouldn't get this.
Right, right.
You know those times.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help anybody.
No,
just makes
no.
people quit, really. That's right. Your ideal is that they won't grow.
Right.
Turn down an opportunity that you should also turn down because you're not as funny as some other guy.
Right.
But anyway, he was shitting on it. We're just trying to explain, like, Vine's not, he goes, I don't get Vine. I don't like it. We're like, well, it's nothing to get or like. It's just short 6-second videos. Someone's like, funny. He goes, well, I don't think so. He goes, I mean, we're like, what if it was like a 6-second YouTube video that could be funny? You can't see how that could be.
Right.
He goes, I just don't like it. I don't like it. And he kept going, all right. We dropped it, and he kept talking about it.
Right.
And we're like, all right, man. And so later on the mushrooms, he's like, I'm a terrible person. We're all having a nice conversation, and I had to ruin it because of that.
Oh,
and the guys were like, no, no, it's okay. But then I was like, no, man, it's not okay. You're right to think you're a terrible person. But here's the cool thing. You can just not be that guy anymore.
Right. But, I mean, but these things you're talking about, I mean, we don't need drugs for that. I mean, therapy and
sure,
meditation
therapy
and, you know, some sort of sobriety program or just desiring to not be an asshole.
Help.
Yeah. Like, you could just be like, how am I behaving today?
Yeah, but it's hard to really make yourself look at it.
Right.
And you're filled with this ego, not you, all of us.
Right.
That won't really let yourself look... You ever play golf?
Yes.
You ever play best ball?
Yes.
Okay. There's this thing that happens when you're each playing the best ball where you end up a few shots going, no, I think my ball's in a better position. We play this one. And
right.
the other friend's like, no, my ball's in a better position.
Right.
And you just want to play your own ball.
Right. Because
you can't see things clearly with no relation to you hitting the shot before.
Right.
You can just be like, which one of these two balls, which I don't know which one I hit, you know?
Right.
That's what I mean. You can't see yourself with no ego. So meditation would help, certainly.
Yeah.
But this will just like jumpstart you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do a lot of meditation, but now we're just arguing.
Do you really?
I should. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
You talk out loud?
I do. Yeah.
That helps.
Sometimes myself. Yeah, I was doing that recently. Yeah.
Talking out loud.
I'm a big Thich Nhat Hanh guy. You ever hear him? He's a Vietnamese Buddhist monk. I probably have a book of his in my bag right now at all times. He's written about 60 books.
Really?
Or maybe 70. He's really tremendous.
Oh.
He's actually had a... that's the jazz trio I was watching earlier, Walking Away.
Oh. Stand-up bass. That's always a good sign.
They were wonderful.
Where's the drums? The guy in the back?
Yeah.
Just this whole drum kit?
It's just a four-piece. Yeah.
Wow.
He had a hi-hat and a crash and a snare and a little bass drum.
Man, if they start playing right here, I would actually not mind it at all.
I would love it.
So, yeah, this guy.
But anyways, Thich Nhat Hanh, he's this amazing guy. He actually had a like a brain hemorrhage recently. He was in a coma for a while. I think he's doing better now, though. But he's been around forever. Like, he was Martin Luther King nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize back in...
Really?
Pre-1968.
Pre-assassination?
Yeah, pre-assassination,
oh, sure.
Yeah. But anyways, he's amazing. He's written a ton of books, and that guy's, like, changed my whole life.
Really?
Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh.
You ever meet Duncan Trussell?
No.
He's a comic in L.A.
No, I don't know.
He's super into meditation.
Really?
More the Buddhist stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff. But it's hard.
You should talk to him about it.
I read it and I meditate, but it's still difficult, like you say, to kind of step out of your own ego and your own thoughts.
Yeah, he's all about meditation, but he loves mushrooms, too.
Right. Well, maybe I'll do a mushroom someday.
It's tough when you have sobriety involved in it.
Yeah, it is.
You're a program guy?
I am, yeah. Which is also that same thing of just
Everyone
sort of seeing where you're at fault.
What?
There's a lot of, like, what am I doing wrong in this situation?
Program, well, that's a separate thing, I guess. They do, to me, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
Like, why your fault, and don't celebrate the new life where it's like, I'm doing great here.
Right.
You know? I went on a run and I passed by these guys smoking pot and I didn't even consider like stopping.
Yeah.
You know, like good moments. They don't celebrate enough. It's always just like, maybe I'm wrong.
I think people do. I celebrate all the time. I'm celebrating right now. I feel great.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe just at the meetings.
This is wonderful. I mean, I hate myself, but I feel like I'm doing a terrible podcast here. But
well,
am I doing all right? Do people hate me right now? Is everyone listening to this? This guy's boring. He's a piece of shit.
No, I think you're fine.
All right, great.
But let's get into what I wanted to talk to you about.
All right, great.
Because, yeah, well, I had a great segue before, but I lost it about getting late on the road or something.
We started talking about sex and fat women. I thought I did a good job of segueing in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw an opportunity right there. Yeah. And I was like, can I take it? And I got sidetracked.
Oh, jeez.
Well, the problem with on the road, maybe, is...
How about this? That's a real sexy kid over there. just kidding, folks.
That must be a terrible affliction.
What, wanting to have sex with kids?
I mean, some guys like fat chicks. Some guys like tall women. Some guys like young boys.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a real nightmare. I would not enjoy that.
I really want to get a child molester on this podcast.
I heard a story about a guy who, my friend, you should get Greg Stone. Do you know Greg Stone?
Greg Stone.
He's a wonderful comic here in New York and a philosophical guy, great conversationalist. That's I was going to tell his story, but I don't want to tell his story. But he met, I guess I am going to do it now, but he worked in like a hospital and he met this guy on like his deathbed. And he was like, what's the great thing you accomplished in life? And this guy was like, I never had sex with a kid. And that was like, that's what he said. And Greg was like, what? And the guy's like, yeah. He's like, I'm a pedophile. He's like, I love children. He's like, but I managed to never do it. Wow. He just desired to fuck kids for like 60 years.
Wow.
And like never did. So that guy's like a hero.
Yeah.
Like this guy's like,
you know,
he's
that's
born
a
with this thing.
Jewish view of homosexuality. They're like, it's just an urge, like gluttony. And you just have to resist that urge.
Oh, wow, that's...
They're like, it's not evil. It's just a thing you're not supposed to do.
Oh, interesting.
Some guys are more drawn to, like, gossip.
Right.
Some guys are more drawn to rage and fighting. Just, like, all shit you can't do.
Oh, wow.
Which is like...
That makes it seem like, though, if they fucked a guy, they'd be done with it. They were like, oh, I'd get that out of the way. But I think they would want to continue to fuck guys.
When you fuck on the road, did you always fuck with condoms or no?
I never had sex with a condom, ever. And then I did it completely reverse. You're supposed to fuck everybody with condoms, and then you meet like a girl you love, and then she becomes like your life partner,
and then you take
the condom off.
Yeah.
I have done it completely reversed. I fucked every person I ever met with no condom,
and now
I have a girl that I love and spend all my time with, and we fuck with condoms on.
By the way, this view straight up,
yes.
Perfect thing for mushrooms.
But this is perfect to me here, not on mushrooms. We're looking up, sky, leaves, tree.
No, you're right.
I can meditate. I think about this tree. It's been here forever. He doesn't have to do anything.
Is that what you do? You meditate in nature?
I try to, if I can. I meditate anywhere, but...
What'd you say? The trees didn't do anything?
Like, this tree doesn't feel like it needs to do anything. It just exists, and people enjoy it and appreciate it and use it. And this tree's not contemplating its existence or thinking of what it has to do next. It's just solid, and it lives here, and it's happy, and that's it.
Wow. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I like seeing art... And imagining, like, even shitty art, but it's old, and imagining someone taking the care to paint. I had a Velvet Elvis that I got for, like, $5 at a yard sale.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine someone, somewhere, painting the white of his eyeball.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. I don't know. I'm like, they cared about it enough.
Oh, I love that. I like going to art galleries and museums and whatnot and just staring at a painting for, like, a half an hour.
If you can see the 3D come out and then realize, no, this is Mona Lisa.
It's not one of those.
He didn't paint it like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I had problems with condoms for a long time. I mean, they feel terrible.
Yeah. It's hard because I've had sex with my girlfriend 500 times with condoms. I've had nothing but condom sex for like 5 years now.
Really?
4 years.
Okay. Can you get herpes if you don't have an outbreak?
I think you can. I think it's less likely or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can... But I think it's very low chances or whatever.
But they also might just have an outbreak like 20 minutes before you start having sex. They wouldn't know about it.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had like an outbreak in a long, long time since I quit drinking.
That makes it worse?
Drinking does because it weakens the immune system.
Because
you're not sleeping and you're fucked up. Your immune system's fucked up. Like when I was boozing, I would have it all the time because I never took medicine or anything.
What do you mean?
Like, you're supposed to, like, take, like, you know, Valtrex or some shit.
Oh, no. And you wouldn't?
I never had any money. I didn't have any insurance or money.
How much is Valtrex?
I don't know.
You don't take it now?
No.
You just don't drink?
I don't drink, and I try to meditate salads and relax and stuff, and I eat all right. I mean, I eat pretty poorly.
Stress does it too, right?
Yeah, because stress weakens the immune system, yeah.
Wow.
So I was always stressed and never sleeping and drunk because I was a retard.
Isn't having herpes a stressor?
Not anymore. Now I don't even think about it. It's like just out of my mind. But at first it was fucking horrible, yeah.
How did you... Okay. I thought I got it last year.
Yeah.
I was so frightened.
I'm the go-to guy now. Everyone calls me. I get a herpes call twice a week. All over the globe.
Look at my dick.
People I don't even know. People just call
me. Look at my dick. Tell me if there's herpes.
No one tells me to look at their dick. But, I mean, I would.
Yeah.
I'm into that kind of thing.
Oh. I was so frightened.
What did you have going on?
A penile tear.
Oh.
I had unlubricated anal sex.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and then it was just like this, like, scab. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
And I looked at pictures of WebMD, just Google Images herpes, and I'm like, it doesn't look like all of them, but it looks like a very minor case, which is like,
well,
fuck.
Sometimes when you Google, if you Google image herpes,
yeah,
the things that pop up are like the worst case.
Yeah.
So they show you like wild shit. It looks like some flesh eating disease.
That, but then I was like, I know that's an outlier, so maybe I have an outlier on the bottom end.
Right, right. But when I first got it, I had like one of those. That it was insane.
Horrible?
It was fucking horrible. I always say, if herpes, you just got it once.
Yeah.
And then you could never get it again.
Yeah.
It would still be
terrible.
The worst
like
thing
adult chicken
ever.
Pox?
It's fucking horrible. It's related to chicken pox. It's
Is
like
it really?
Thing. Yeah. Herpes and chicken pox and... shingles are all like the same virus.
Yeah, shingles.
Yeah, shingles is like herpes.
So what is it? You're not. If you got chicken pox, if you're exposed to it, now you can get shingles. But if you didn't, you couldn't get shingles.
I don't know about that.
Shingles is my new fear. Because when I saw Tom Bradshaw or whoever it was say like 1 in 3 men get shingles, I'm like, oh no, those odds are really high.
My dad had it. It's not enjoyable. I think it's painful, but it's not the end of the world. I don't think. But it's basically herpes on like your back and shit. I think.
Ugh.
But yeah, the first time I had, when I first got herpes, it was horrible. It was all over my
When'd you get it? How?
I got it on Christmas Eve, 2010.
2010?
Yeah.
5 years, 4.5 years ago.
Is that right? Yeah, Christmas Eve. Yeah, quite a while ago.
And it just suddenly was like, boom, was there?
Yeah, well, I had sex. Here's what happened. I had sex with a girl in Connecticut. The girl I had a thing for. She was really hot. And she was kind of like a... It was really hot. I had a thing for her for like years, but she had a boyfriend. And then we finally like we're gonna hook up. We went on like a date, and it was funny because she was home visiting her parents.
Like I want to have sex with you. It's gonna wait years until we're both single.
Right, right.
We both know we want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It was frustrating. Well, I think I could have done it actually. Looking back, this is like a long story now. But looking back, this is like back in like 2002, and we were hanging out for like we both went to the New York Film Academy for like acting, and. We like hit it
Did
off.
You really?
We were
you went
best, yeah, like it's like a 6 week program, or whatever. But we were like best buds, and it was great. We get along, but she had a boyfriend, and then we went and saw Lost in Translation, which is one of my favorite movies of all
great.
Time. I mean, just spectacular. And you know, they kiss at the end of the movie, and she was like, "Boy, I really like that he kissed her at the end there." And I was just a retard. Yeah, and I was like, "Yeah, it was great." And like, I just didn't think. And it wasn't until like 10 years later that I was like, "Oh, what an idiot!" Like, because we had the same. We basically had a similar relationship, you know.
What?
As like the characters in the movie, like she's married and she's hanging out. They're both married.
Did they have a long kiss there? The end of Lost in Translation, or was it just like a kiss on the cheek?
It was a pretty good kiss. It was a lip kiss.
Show me your hand. Wasn't it like this?
Nah, I think it was. I think
it was
like
that?
Maybe it was a little bit longer than that. Maybe it was around that. Oh. They didn't like make out or whatever. But that movie's a fucking masterpiece. I think it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think look at me. She was like, "Yeah, boy, I really like that they kissed." Like I was just like,
I look back at high school and college sometimes. I'm just like, "You fucking idiots."
I'm the same way.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm the same way. I had no confidence. I was going through a photo album the other day. This like beautiful girl that used to hang out at all these shows. Like a comedy fan, and she's like sitting on my lap, kissed me on the cheek with both arms around me, and I'm like, "Oh, this girl was trying to fuck me. Like I could have fucked this girl."
By
like
the
so
time
many
you
girls,
were like, so friendly.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh, what a weirdo.
Weird.
Yeah, I was like a boy who didn't realize a girl was like flirting on.
I didn't get this till later, but like that tingling feeling you get around, like not on your dick, but from like above your knee to like under your chest,
right,
all over. That's because you're both feeling. Right. Like you should be moving forward.
Right.
You and the girl.
Right. Yeah, I fucked up a lot with that. But anyways, so we went like a date like fucking 8 years later. Well, this is going to get real weird.
Yeah, this is this very close.
Two people contemplating sitting next to us.
Right when we get into the herpes talk.
Right when we get into the herpes talk.
Maybe that'll before that. Sit down.
So, yeah, I became riddled with herpes. I'm telling the story out of order so I can chase these people away.
I think it worked.
I think it worked.
They moved far enough away.
Yeah, boy. So anyways, so then we went on like this date thing. And then I wanted to hook up with her so bad, but we went to, she was staying at home. She lives in L.A.
Yeah.
And she was visiting in Connecticut. She's like, I pulled like into her like parents' drive. I had to drop her off. And she's like, pull down the street a little bit. So we still like making out. So then we need a place to like fuck. And she was like, how about this cemetery over here? And I was like, I can't fuck in a cemetery. We'll get raped by ghosts or whatever. It's too weird. So we ended up going to like a playground and like fucking in like a, we hooked up in a playground. And she was like, she's like a really short girl and I'm really tall. So it looked like I was like fucking a kid from any distance, which is kind of creepy. She's like 4 feet tall and I'm 6 feet tall. And we're fucking on a playground at 1 o'clock in the morning. But we're making out.
Officer, she just feels comfortable here.
We're making out. It's getting hot and heavy, and like she's, you know, hot body. I really have feelings for her. And like right before we started to like have sex, she was like, she said time out, which was adorable. And she's like, I got to tell you, I need to let you know, I have herpes.
Oh.
And I was like, all right. She's like, well, you know, she's like, I got it a long time ago. She's like, I haven't had an outbreak in years, and I've had sex without a condom, and the guys never got it. But, you know, I want to tell you because I'll feel better. But to me, she could have just been like, I really like Nirvana's first album. It didn't matter. It was just nonsense to me. Because I was already had a boner, and we're about to fuck.
It's the worst time to have sex. To tell somebody.
Well, because I'm already in.
Yeah.
Like, if she told me at dinner, maybe I'd be like, I don't know. Even then, it probably wouldn't matter.
Something about gravity after they've jumped off the building.
Right,
like, oh, well, I can't.
Yeah, I was just like, we're having sex next. I don't give a shit. She could have told me, you know, her pussy had teeth.
I had a bit like, about it in my first special where it was like, a girl told me she had herpes after we had sex, which is wrong. And I'm like, by after, I mean like right before. Which is like, come on.
That's hilarious. That's really funny. So yeah, so I was like, oh, I don't care. So we like had sex, or whatever, and it was great, and she's great.
Condom or no condom?
No condom.
No condom.
I was like, I don't have a condom, and she's like, I don't either. And I was like, well, what are you gonna do? So then we had sex, and like after I dropped her off, I was like, oh shit, I wonder what happened here. If I have herpes.
Clearly.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, man, am I gonna have herpes? Herpes, like, and then I start thinking because like I never really thought about herpes. I never considered anything because I was always, I guess, drunk or didn't give a shit. But then I had to like think about everything I'd ever heard about herpes. And I was like, oh yeah, it doesn't go away. It's yeah, painful. Forever. I'm like, fuck, because I wasn't thinking. And then nothing happened for like months. This is in like June.
So you're like, cool.
So I was like, I guess I just don't have herpes. I guess it doesn't, because usually it happens within like 2 to 14 days of contracting it. Yeah. But it can
be like, how long can it happen?
I think it can stay dormant forever. Some people have it and just never know they have it,
I think.
And they
give it to people?
I guess. I don't know. It's all mysterious.
My friend said that everyone should just get herpes so that no one's weird about it.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So then, like Christmas Eve, I had sex with a girl like the 22nd of December.
Yeah.
Again, no condom. And like 2 days after that, different girl.
Different girl, yeah.
And then 2 days after that, I had like just a wild outbreak, like my dick just exploded. So I might have gotten it from this other girl,
yeah.
But I kind of thought I probably had it from the girl that told me she had herpes because I had.
Did you ever find out with the December girl if she ever got it?
I don't know about her.
Wait a minute, you never called her?
I talked to her, but I don't know. Like, she was like, it didn't end well, this relationship.
Right.
Because
of the herpes outbreak?
No, I think just other stuff, I guess. But she, like, I don't know. She might have it. She might not.
To me, this is the worst. Okay, there's a lot of stuff of this I want to talk about. But, like, one of them is the phone calls you got to make.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a lot of. See, I always just assumed I got it from the girl that told me she had herpes or this other girl.
Right.
Because then I was talking to that girl and I was like, do you have herpes by any chance? And she's like, what? I go to the gynecologist. She started yelling.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm just asking because I seem to have it now.
You said that to the new girl, the December girl. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I have it now. And she's like, what? What is this? You have herpes? And I'm like, well, I didn't have it before.
I got
it 2 days after we had sex without a condom.
So you're thinking it was her.
Were you thinking it was her? Oh, someone just threw nuts at us. I think it's either her. It's one of the two. And I think the other two that I had sex with.
What was your thought, though? Were you thinking, like, it's got to be you? It was 2 days ago. We fucked.
I thought for sure it was the girl, the original girl, the playground girl. Yeah, because she was like, I have herpes. And then we had sex without a condom. So I'm like, I must have herpes.
Right.
If I have herpes, I got it from her. But this one makes more sense to get it 2 days later.
And you told her and she just said, fuck you, and that was the last time you talked to her?
I kind of talked with her a couple times since. All these fucking things are falling down now. All right. Sorry. I got to stop doing these visual. We're under a tree and there's nuts coming down on
acorns.
Acorns.
Damn, it's like raining down.
Yeah, I think he's running around up there.
The squirrel?
Yeah.
Do you see it? I think he's like trying to get us to leave. No way.
He doesn't care for herpes.
I was that girl. Right. I've been reincarnated.
I look up there. She's up there shaking the tree.
I committed suicide after this. Now I'm a squirrel.
But anyway, so I got it from one of those two girls. And so then I just had it. And it was wild.
Yeah.
And it was Christmas Eve. And like my dick was just, it was fucking horrific. Like it was like
what happened with it? What does it do?
I always say it's like someone put cigarettes out of my dick. It's like someone put like 20 cigarettes out. And I had it all over.
Like you woke up and it was just boom?
It was bright red and like itchy. Like I thought it was like from like pubic hair. Like, you know, like shave real close.
Uh-huh.
Like that stubble. I thought it was like stubble burn.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was like bright red everywhere and like itchy. And I was with my friend Jason Canner. I don't know if you know him. Great guy. Funny comic.
Yeah, I remember him.
But he was like at my house for Christmas. He's a kind Jew, so he'd come to my house for Christmas. And so I was just like, what do you think this is? And I started rubbing like Vaseline on it and shit because I thought it was like a burn.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to do. It's supposed to keep it, you know, dry or whatever.
Oh, really?
So I'm just like rubbing creams and all kinds of shit on it. And then like slowly they started to like blister and then like open up.
Oh.
And it was like wet and pussy and fucking bloody. It was like horrific. And because I was drinking so much of the time, I think it just riddled my like immune system.
The herpes riddled your immune system? Or no,
the booze,
right.
And then so like the herpes, and also when you first get it, like your body has no idea what this is. It's just like like it's like a crazy new virus, and your body's like trying to fight it. So like you get like residual like illness. Like my lymph nodes were huge.
Oh,
like
really?
I had like giant lymph nodes in my neck.
Because your body was just sending out all white blood cells. You're on call.
Yeah,
everything. Let's go.
Yeah, it was like we have a virus. Like my back hurt. Like all this stuff. I had to read about it, but I was like, oh, man, like my back hurt so bad. I had headaches. My lymph nodes were, like, bursting out of my neck.
Wow.
It was really fucking wild.
At least you were in an internet age where you actually could just, like, go research it.
Yeah, I was, like, reading all this stuff. I just diagnosed myself. I was like, oh, this is clearly
herpes.
Like, this is insane. And it was horrible because it would get, like, so, like, hot down there and, like, you couldn't, like, walk. Like, wearing jeans was hard. Like, as soon as
really?
I came home, I had to, like, switch to, like...
Because you would chafe?
Warm up pants.
Hot?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like, this is moisture down there. You know, you heat up down there because you're walking around and shit.
I'm picturing it. Okay, tell me if this is right or wrong. But did you ever see, The Rock?
The movie?
Uh-huh.
I think I did, you know, 20 years ago, whatever. Yeah.
Well, remember the scene where they were trying to transport that deadly virus and one of them dropped?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no. And they had to lock him in there. And he's like, let me out because I can see through the window.
Right.
Like, we can't let you out. I mean, right, we're all dead. And he's like, please. And then his face just starts bubbling.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's what it was like. That's what it was like. Like, the first outbreak lasted like 5 weeks.
Oh.
Like, I was like, I didn't jerk off like a month and a half because I couldn't like touch my dick. Oh, yeah. It was like, just like I said, like open blisters. It was fucking horrific. And, yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Damn.
And I could barely walk around. Like, because I lived in the city. So, like, I'd have to like walk.
Yeah, you got to walk everywhere here.
Yeah, and I had to just like, I got to go home. I remember like hanging out with Dan Soder, and he was just like, at one point, he was just like, come on, man, like, cheer up. I want the old Joe. What are you doing? And I was like, I was like, this isn't mood related. It's like, I'm in agony. Like, I'm like, I am in an agonizing pain right now. And there was another classic Soder line. He's such a sweet guy. He was just like, I know what you mean, man. He's like, I know what you're going through. I had a scare one time. I was like, Well, no, not,
that's
this
not what I'm going through.
I'm not. This isn't a scare. Like I'm bleeding out of my dick. Which I always made the analogy.
Was your dick bleeding? Was your urine different?
No, I was like pissing normal and shit. It wasn't like bleeding, but it was like it was bloody. It was like open sores. And then what would happen is like it would stick to like my boxers and like dry. So I'd have to like pull my boxers like a Band-Aid.
Rip off.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible. And what would happen was like the scabs would like heal and then fall off, and then they'd be like reopened again, and then scab over again and fall. It went on for a long time. Like I remember being like, "This is never gonna go away. This is just how it is." And like, unwisely, I kept drinking through
why?
This.
Just fuck it.
Yeah. Well, that's when I first tried to get sober. Actually, I went like 9 days without drinking, and then I was just like, "Ah, fuck it." Because I was like, "I gotta quit." Oh, the band's setting back up.
Yeah,
so I went like 9 days not drinking, and then we just went back to like boozing it up. And I said like a horrible diet and shit at the time too.
You try to eat greens and shit now?
I try to as much as I can.
I got a genital wart once. It was the same thing.
Oh, I had like, those as well.
Really?
I had a ton of those. It's weird because I haven't had a lot of partner. Like I've fucked like, you know, 40 girls, which is not crazy, but they were all condomless. Drunk, wild.
Yeah, Yusuf always says that. He's like, no, condoms. Come on, give me a break. You don't feel anything.
What, with condoms?
Condoms. That's the problem with the ads they do. It's like, it's either condom or baby. And you're like, no, but you're not giving like heed to the fact that we're all thinking, but those don't feel good.
Right.
So you have to go, it's either don't feel as good or,
right, right.
or this.
Well, that's the thing with condoms is, and this is how I felt, because I have such anxiety and I was such a booze bag, and then I was on Paxil for years, so that I was never like able to come. So my fear with sex was always like, my fear was always like, baby. Like everything I had heard growing up is like, careful with sex, wear condoms because you don't want a baby. You don't want a baby.
But if you get a girl that's like progressive and you're like, well, they're like an abortion.
Well, that and also I could never come. So it wasn't like a fear. I was like, I'll just pull out or I'll just fuck for 9 hours and not be able to come because I'm on Paxil and depressed and weird. Yeah. So no one ever gives you a fucking herpes talk. They give you like a baby talk.
Yeah, they
no
don't.
One gave them that talk either. But
society
so
does.
I would always have sex and just not come in the girl, not thinking I could get riddled with herpes and warts,
yeah,
which
my,
I did.
One of my first girls that I hooked up with on the road for the first times ever. She's cool. She's got a baby now, but she was like, while we're having sex, she's like, I'm out on the pill, so, you know, so you got to pull out. It's like, oh, okay. I was like, I guess that's the way we'll do it.
Right.
Because the only other girls I had sex with were like, they were on the pill or like you gotta get a condom,
right?
I was
right
like, wait, so you can, that can work, just pull out?
Yeah, it's amazing how many girls I found just irresponsible on the road, where they were just like as irresponsible as me. They were just like, well, whatever.
Yeah, like,
just
you're
go,
just meeting me.
Yeah,
I'm
they'd be like,
you and you're just meeting me.
And you'd have girls that are like, you gotta wear a condom, and I'm like, I don't have one. They're like, alright, well, whatever.
That's the problem. They're in the same position,
right?
It's like telling them, you know, want off the roof already,
right? You just want
to, they
delay.
Also want to fuck. Did that one hit you?
No, nothing's hit me yet. It is like such a high
acorns.
Rate of acorns falling around us.
I feel like some of them are falling at a higher velocity, which makes me think they're taking them and throwing them down the squirrels.
But anyways,
so then they're going to like come clean up all the squirrels after they've got them all down? They're going to deal with them later?
I think that's what happens. And some of these birds, we were just surrounded by birds that were eating.
So you had this pussy. Oh, God. I mean, did you think your life was over?
Well, I remember I was pretty good mentally, like, short, like, it was like 2 days of, like, wanting to kill myself and being like, I'm a fuck up, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm a pretty resilient guy and, like, a happy guy generally, even when I was, like, going through my shit. Like, I was kind of like, all right, I was just like, well, I already have it. You can't get it again, so it's like, fuck it. Like, I had a pretty good attitude, but it was hard for me because it went on for, like I said, like 5 or 6 weeks, where it's like, it wasn't just like an attitude thing. Like, I'm in agony.
Right.
I couldn't sleep right because I had to like lay on my back. Because
you're not used to laying on your back, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If I tried to lay sideways, like your balls and dick are like between your legs and shit. It was so hard to sleep. It was so hard to walk. And then I just felt so like fucking lonely. And like, you just feel like a piece of shit. And then it's permanent. You're like, this is forever. I'm just permanently fucked.
Different.
Yeah.
How long till it went away, 5 or 6 weeks. How long till you could have sex again?
I didn't have sex for a while, and then I would have, like, frequent... That was just the first one. I would get outbreaks all the time, like, every, like, 10 days.
Oh, no.
They just weren't as severe because your body starts becoming, like, adapting to it.
They know what it is?
Yeah. Just like...
when you hear them go through the bridge, right. You're like, oh, no, here
it's
it
like
comes.
It's like Plinko.
Yeah.
So I would just start having it, like, pretty frequently. I had them all the time, like, outbreaks all the time. But they would get, like, less and less severe, and it'd just be, like, one or whatever. But that first one, there was, like, 18.
Just one lesion?
Yeah. They'd be like, it was all over my fucking
And then
dick.
How long would that last?
Like a few days or whatever, like a week maybe.
And you don't put cream on it or anything?
I went to like the STD clinic. Oh, this is funny. I went to like the free clinic in Chelsea and like waited all day. And like I went and talked to this woman and it was like a free clinic or whatever. And it was like this like Russian woman or Eastern European. And she's like, I want to get the test so we can like, you know, confirm that it is herpes or whatever. So she like went in there and had to like scrape. She was like scraping like with a fucking
one of the
like a dentist thing.
One of the scabs?
Yeah, she would like scrape at it and I was like, ah, and I was like crying and I was like, oh my god. And she called me a baby. She's like, Your baby. She's like, I'm just trying to find this thing. I'm like, I'm not a baby. I was like, you got a metal thing in a fucking open wound on my cock. I'm not this is unusual to me.
I got a wart and I had chlamydia once.
Yeah.
And I have found that doctors, free clinics, they are not very, like, comforting in any way.
No, they're not sympathetic.
They really make you feel like you're evil.
Yeah.
You've done something wrong. You did this to yourself. Fucking buck up. And you're like, damn, man, I don't know what's happening right now. I don't know what this is.
Right.
Can you, like, especially with, like, just say it's not the end of the world. Or how many other people have this. Or, like, oh, this one goes away in, like, 10 days.
Right.
No problem. But, I mean, you shouldn't fuck, but, like.
Right. Well, I went to, when I had the warts, I went to Planned Parenthood, which I highly recommend to anybody.
No, they're great.
Planned Parenthood, like, I didn't even know. I called.
You thought it was
like,
all just abortions, right?
Yeah, I called and I was like, this might sound naive. I was like, but do you guys do guys there? And they're like, yeah, we do it. Like, they're wonderful. I contribute to them. $10 a month.
Really?
Yeah, which I hope I'm not going to get death threats myself here, but I hope you have a more progressive fan base. But
that's your Twitter.
Yeah, they're just like...
What's your Twitter address? Joe List?
At Joe List Comedy.
At Joe List Comedy. Yeah, death threat him there.
Please don't. I have no sense of humor.
So, yeah, you went to Planned Parenthood.
So I went to... This is warts. I'm jumping ahead now. But they were actually like really nice and sweet. And they were just like, oh, yeah, we'll just knock that out. No problem. And that was like a Bernie thing. That was not fun either. The warts was almost actually harder than herpes. Because herpes, you can hide...
What?
Like, you can just be like, you just don't fuck when you have an outbreak.
Yeah.
Warts, it's like, I just have warts all over my dick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I had a ton of them, too. I have to take care of them, yeah.
Yeah.
I waited a long time because I was hoping they would go away.
They'd
and they
go
never
away,
did.
Yeah. What did you do, burn them off?
Yeah, she put like an acid thing. I had to go three times.
Dry ice.
Three visits.
Or something. Not
it was like almost like whiteout.
Yeah.
And it fucking hurt.
And you're like, yeah, I did this to myself.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and she was actually, like, this girl was, like, really sweet. I wanted to write a movie or a TV show, but we had, like, a good rapport, and she was, like, really sweet and, like, kind of hot. And I was like, it'd be fun if this is how I met my wife. She's burning shit off my dick. But anyways, the herpes thing, like, it would keep coming back every, like, 10 days or whatever, but it fucking was awful for a while, yeah.
Man. Did you think you would never fuck again?
I wasn't even... thinking about it, because I kept reading it would go away, and I was like, all right, I guess it'll go away. Oh, the clinic gave me, like, meds, yeah. They gave me, like, 6 pills or whatever. They're like, just take this every day for a week.
And it went away?
Eventually. I mean, that helped, but I didn't go till like, towards the end of my first outbreak.
Does insurance pay for that stuff? Xanax? What did you call it? Not Xanax. Zantac? No.
I had Xanax and Paxil.
No,
I didn't have insurance.
Call the medication for herpes?
Oh, Valtrex.
Valtrex. Does insurance pay for that or no?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I feel like they should, right?
I never had insurance.
You've never had insurance?
Not since I was 18. Next year I will, though, because I did well this year with SAG stuff.
Oh, really?
So I should be able to get it.
Okay, it's not after insurance, which sucks.
Oh, really?
After is the worst. They're supposed to combine. They never combine insurances.
Oh, weird.
It's like, well, we're one union. I understand. You don't even get your insurance card until, like, May. I had to call them, like, 40 times. Like,
oh,
I need my card to show people.
I heard that it was really good in insurance. SAG is good insurance.
SAG is good. Writers Guild is better. Directors Guild is in between the two. And AFTRA's way at the bottom.
Weird.
I got mad at them once for SAG because of Obamacare. I lost my mental health coverage.
Yeah.
One of the rules was you have to give everyone the same amount of... you can't have like a sliding scale. So plan one for SAG, you would get like 60 office visits for mental health.
Yeah.
For plan two, they were doing like 15.
Huh.
You know, because you don't quite qualify for as much. But then Obamacare was like, uh-uh. You have to offer fully or not at all. And they're like, okay, well, then we can't afford that.
Oh, wow.
So not at all.
Oh.
And I was yelling at them. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, and it was right after like Jared Loughner shot that congresswoman.
Right.
And I was like, I hope a new Jared Loughner comes to the SAG offices and murders every one of you. But that was a little reactive.
What can you do?
Yeah, they started off slow. I like it.
Yeah, we got a nice jazz trio that I was watching earlier and now has moved closer. Very sexy.
How much money do you think they make?
I think they make a good amount of money. You got to split it three ways, though. That's what's tough about a band.
It's band stuff. Okay, so you get this thing. It's all fucking horrible. And you don't start calling people you've had sex with in between?
No, because I didn't have a lot of sex. I think I'd only had sex with those two in that period.
Oh.
So, like, I'd had sex. Well, maybe there was a couple people, but I guess I had sex with a few people between the Playground Girl and then December, but I always just assumed I got it from Playground Girl, and then when I didn't have an outbreak, I was like, I guess I just didn't get it. I got lucky.
You didn't go back and make the other calls? Tell them, like, you need to get tested for herpes?
There was no one to talk to, really.
Oh. See, to me, that was one of the worst parts of the ward or the chlamydia.
Right.
Where it was like, shit, I got to call these people. Because otherwise, they'll give it to somebody.
Right.
So you got to tell them, like, you need to go get tested.
Right. But I didn't have sex with anybody in that period. I didn't get sexed very regularly.
But you did a couple. Well, you just didn't.
Well, I talked to the other girl, and I was like, do you have herpes? And I was like, because I have it now. She was like, what? No, I don't have herpes. I go to the gynecologist. And I was like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with getting herpes.
Yeah, the reaction is not very... I had, like, one girl who worked at Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Go, okay, well, yeah, I'll get tested.
Right.
But everyone else, like, fuck you!
But I had
you
to tell...
this to me!
Right. I had to tell the girls that I was about to have sex with, and that was awkward, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which only happened once. It was
I want to talk about that, too.
Well, I only had sex with one girl before Sarah, who's been my girlfriend, has been for years.
Yeah.
But her, I told it in public in a New York comedy party. Did you ever hear about the Laker Awards?
The Laker Awards?
Yeah. That we put on an award show that Chris Laker...
Oh, okay.
Named it to Chris Laker. So it was a huge party in New York. Just a fake award show. And all the New York... all of the New York comedy scene was there.
Yeah.
And I won an award, the Gentleman's Gentleman Award, for being the nicest guy in the city.
Yeah.
And my speech... I thought this was going to be hilarious. I gave a speech. I was like, this means so much to me because I had a really rough year. I got herpes on Christmas Eve and, like, really wild, blatant, rampant herpes. And I thought it was going to kill. And everyone just was like, what? Everyone was just staring. It was like 200 comics, everyone I know. And everyone was just looking at me like I'm crazy. And, like, it was like a slow...
That's what you told her.
Yeah. It was like a slow clap. And then Sarah, who's now my girlfriend at the time, wasn't. She's like, boy, you really made quite a statement up there. And I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be funny. And she's like, I think it's great. She's like, I think more people should talk about it openly. So I thought she had herpes.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's what she was saying. I thought she was like, hey, I think it's terrific. People should be open about this. And I was like, I read you. And so that's like one of the reasons I like pursued her.
That because you're like, she's already in?
Yeah. I was like, she must have herpes. I mean, I had a thing for her anyways, but.
So you can't get worse herpes, right?
No. Herpes is just.
Fuck somebody's herpes. So are there dating websites like Herpes for Herpes?
Oh, for sure.
Like
yeah.
That?
Yeah. I just never.
If it's 25% of the population,
yeah,
which is what I've heard, is that what you've...
I think it's 20% of men and 25% of women. I think it's more women than men.
Women get stuff easier than men. We give stuff to them easier than they give it to us.
Oh, they're weak, weak
human beings.
Except heartbreak.
They give that to us way easier
right.
than we give it to them.
Right.
They are done with us when they're done.
So that's how I told her. And then there was one girl I had sex with in between... And she had a great reaction. I was like, we were, you know, making out hot and heavy. I did the old trick where you tell them right before.
Right then, yeah.
And I was like, I got to tell you, I have herpes. It's not that big of a deal. And I have condoms. But she was like, well, that is not ideal. And then she was like, but let's do it. So that was pretty sweet.
And you used the condom.
Yeah. We went condom style.
I am trying now to, like, have, like, a text conversation with a girl.
Yeah.
To be like, look, I don't. Tell whatever I got, you know, also how I am against, like, women. I'm not women, babies.
Yeah.
Just to where it's not like you have to lie to me on the spot because you're about to fuck.
Right, right.
I want you to have time to be like, actually, there is something you should know. Like, I thought about this for an hour before texting you back.
Right, right.
I have whatever. I was like, cool. Thanks. Now I know.
Right.
And one girl said, I was like, no, I'm very anti-abortion. I would never do that. And I was like, all
right.
Sure. A condom, I guess.
Right. Well, see, that's the good about, like, if I was ever to become single again.
Yeah.
With, like, I've talked about herpes.
That conversation would suck.
But, like, I've had herpes conversations on so many podcasts. I've told them so many stories.
That now you're normalizing
it? I did a one-man show. Well, just, like, a girl could find that out.
But you wouldn't rely on that.
No, but, like, I feel like, I don't know, I only ever got laid from comedy, so I feel like the girl would be like,
yeah,
no, you know.
I met a girl last night outside the Cellar. Yeah. She was, like, flirting. Didn't know me at all, but just saw me on stage, you know? And it was like, I don't know how to turn this into, like, Norman would take her back and have sex. And she was like, yeah, I've been drinking. It's great. My birthday. My friends just left. Hanging out with me and Attell and Steve on the front. And,
yeah.
But, like, into me. And the most I could do was get a number. I was like, I don't. She lived in the West Village.
Right. I never understood how to do that either. But there's so many that people get laid every day. Or they're like, dude, that's a dunk. And I'm like, I've never heard of that. It's all been a full court heave to me.
Talking to Muggsy Bogues and saying it's a dunk.
Right.
It's not. It's for you. It's a dunk.
Right.
Yeah, full court heave.
I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, between sobriety and herpes, I'm like, I just got to marry my girlfriend. We'll just stick with this girl.
I mean, that conversation, do you dread going into it when you do say that to the girl?
Like, yeah.
The one in between, or to Sarah? Oh, Sarah already knew.
Well, the one girl, it's funny because I had, when we first started hanging out and talking, I went on dates, and I had an outbreak, so I couldn't do anything sexually. So I kept just being like, all right, well, good night, and I'd drop her off. So she thought I was, like, the ultimate gentleman.
That's probably a better way to, like, get a relationship going.
Right.
Like, I literally can't have sex, so I'll actually take you seriously and listen to what you're saying.
Right. It was, like, a thing where, like, I'm a gentleman anyways, but I was, like, just very gentlemanly and kept being, like, kissing her on the cheek. I would make out a little bit, and I'd be like, okay, well, I think this is going a little fast.
All right.
Only because my dick was bleeding through my jeans.
So you're so romantic. Yeah. Not if you can see the whole picture.
And then I got nervous because I'm like, there's going to be a point where she's going to be like, well, this guy is just a homo or something. We've been on, like, six dates, and he hasn't tried anything.
Great word. Homo. So, like, we need more homo rights. But when you bring homo back the same way as, like, colored people is for the NAACP, right, where it's like, homo rights.
Right. But, like, you know, she's going to be like, what the fuck's with this guy? So eventually, like, it got better enough that I could have sex with her. But she was the only girl. And then Sarah already knew because I had talked about it in public. So those are the only two girls I've had to tell about it.
I had to tell people when I got that herpes scare, I had to call a bunch of people. And then when I found out that it was not herpes, I had to make another phone call.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, good news this time.
Right.
They were already very mad at me.
Right.
Having them like, what? What do you want?
Right.
Like, oh, well, yeah, if you haven't made your doctor appointment yet, you don't have to.
We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice feeling.
Turns out I'm just a degenerate, but I don't have any disease.
I forgot there was another girl. This is a fun story, too. There was another girl that I was, like, kind of, like, making out with on the road or whatever.
Yeah.
And I forget how it happened, but, like, it felt like it was imminent sex or whatever, and I was like, yeah, well, I have herpes. And she was like, oh, that's fucking disgusting.
Oh.
She's like, that is gross. She's like, wow. She's like, are you even kidding? Are you serious? And I go, man, I was like, well, if I didn't just tell you this, you would also have it
right
now. So it's like, you're really close to having it also. I just happen to be a nice person.
Well, not a mean person.
Or a considerate person, anyways. But like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like,
that's
we're drunk.
People aren't going to want to tell.
It's so funny though, because I'm like, we're drunk in bed, and like, we could be fucking right now. If I just didn't say anything, you would just have it.
Is it illegal not to tell someone you have herpes?
I've heard of people like Michael Vick, I think, got sued. Michael Vick has it.
Say somebody, some other like star gave her herpes.
I think maybe. I don't know. I know someone tried suing Michael Vick, but I don't think they won. Because there's a bunch of celebrities. I believe Jennifer Aniston is on the list of people.
You would have to, like, intentionally try to be giving them herpes.
Right.
They had those old L.A. laws where it was like, you had AIDS and you intentionally fucked a lot of guys.
Yeah.
You're trying to take it out on the guys.
Right. How'd the case work out? I never saw the show.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember Corbin Burnson ended up fucking his assistant.
Oh, wow.
And that was about
fun.
It for the episode.
But, yeah, now it's like I don't even...
Because
I don't
you
even think about
casual
it.
Casual about it?
Yeah, well, I think the longer you have it, the
less
like
stigma you feel.
Well, just the less, the more immune you become to it. Your body's just like sort of used to it, so like it's much rarer.
You think
I don't
it's like
drink.
People who have like, I don't know, missing a limb or something, where you're eventually like, oh yeah, I don't really think about it. I just kind of like,
I guess, yeah, it's not like a thought in my mind. Like I'm not like
into the world right when it happens. and then becomes... I mean, I really thought, like... Did you consider committing suicide?
Not to that point, but I was, like, really... I thought about it, but not, like, in reality. I wasn't, like, how am I going to do this?
Right.
I remember just being, like, oh, well, I should fucking kill myself.
Right.
Yeah. But not really. But I was fucking depressed, for sure. I talked to my mother. I called my mom.
You told your mom?
Yeah, we're really close.
Wow.
I remember just being, like, I don't know who to talk to. And she was just, like, oh, God. She's, like, I'm sorry. You know, my mother's, like, only ever been with my dad since they were, like, 16. She doesn't know what the fuck herpes is.
Yeah, I told my mom about getting a girl pregnant. And she was like, what happened? I left it in. What do you mean? She knew something was wrong. She kept going, tell me. I wish you would talk to me. I'm like, I can't.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, my mother was, like, my first call.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like,
Mom, I think you have herpes.
Because I was so...
the last vagina I was in, I'm calling everybody.
But I was, I was just, you know... fucking sad and depressed and wanted like someone to be like, well, I love you no matter what, and I didn't have a girlfriend or anything.
Yeah, I feel like doctors should be like, okay, listen, this is bad, it's gonna be worse for your life right now, you're gonna have to take this medication or to quit, but it's not the end of your life,
right?
A lot of people have it, you know,
right?
And like, have you see a therapist instantly, just like let me have you talk to somebody, because I know right now you get this bad news, you're gonna be in a bad position,
right?
Leaving here,
right? I've met a few people with it, and like people were like nice, but like, there's a comic I know that I'm close with that's, like, has it. He doesn't talk about it openly, but, I can't say.
Drew does. He talks about it.
Yeah, yeah. He just got it recently. He's, like, new.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's pretty open for having it recently.
Yeah. And then there's another comic who's really fun, Ariel Elias. She does a bits about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I feel like the more people are just, not casual about it, but just, like, open about it.
Right.
The less stigma there is for the people who will get it. I mean, it's not going away.
Right.
So people will be getting it.
I agree completely.
And, like, don't think about killing yourself. Or don't,
right,
like,
right, right.
Or, like, know how, like, now you have to tell people.
Right.
Before you have sex.
Right. Yeah, I remember a girl saying that. I was, like, joking about it. Or I did a one-man show for a moment about it. And this...
Was it heartfelt?
It was heartfelt.
That's good.
And this woman after was like, you have herpes. She's like, you have to tell people that. You know that? And then I was like, yeah, I mean, I told you, we're not even having sex, so, like,
all right.
We're talking about it at a bar right now, so, and then the same girl was like, you know that doesn't go away, right? She's like, you're laughing, but it doesn't go away, and I'm like, yeah, I researched it. I know more about it than you do. What do you think? They were just like, you have herpes? And I was like, great, and then just left and didn't think about it again? I'm like,
there is the stigma to it that I've seen that it's like, it seems like, oh, you're like a bad person now forever. You're marked.
Right, right.
Forever. And people are like, you're going to be marked forever as a gross person. But it's like, it's a quarter of people between 18 and 50. It's a quarter of them. So like, what?
Right. And nothing's...
they're all living.
Happened.
Yeah.
It is gross when you first get it. It's a fucking gross thing. And I don't know what it's like for women, because like, I guess they have them like, that sore is like inside their pussy,
so
which
they
must
can't
be
tell.
A nightmare. Yeah, I think there's a lot you can't see. It's just like in there. So that's got to be a nightmare.
Damn.
And then you're walking around. I imagine things are like moving when you're walking with a. I don't know if I've had a pussy before, but.
I had a girl. I feel really bad for this, but it was a Tinder girl. And we went on one date. She's like, I'm not going to fuck you. It's like, all right. You know, it's like half Tinder. We're like there for sex and half like no fucking way.
Yeah.
Maybe it's thirst. And then the other third is like, give me one or two dates and then we can fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was like probably a one date and then bone. But we went on a date, just made out in her car for a while. It's fine. And then she texted me. He was like, I'm out with my friends in your neighborhood, like I want to come over.
Yeah.
But I was trying to get this other girl to come over at the time, and she wouldn't text me back.
Yeah.
And so this girl was like way too chubby for me, just not what I'm into.
Yeah.
But she was confident about it, which was like pretty cool.
Right.
And she had that smooth fat. It didn't like jiggle all the way up. It went like in a straight line outwards, you know.
Right.
Which is like the best version of that.
Right. Smooth fat. Yeah.
And so it's like, fine, I was turned on by trying to get this other girl to come. And I was like, nah, I don't know. She said, come on, I'm leaving the bar right now. I'll stop over. And it's like, all right.
Right.
And then, so we started making out, and then she gave me the herpes talk.
Yeah.
And I already didn't want to be doing it anyway. And then right then, the first girl texted me. I was like, yeah, I just got out of my meeting. Sure, I can come over. And so it was just met with all this stuff at once. And I shouldn't have done this, but I was like, when she told me she had herpes and all that was happening, I was like, you know what then? We better wait.
That's like beautiful though. That's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's an excuse to like get out of it.
Yeah. Perfect. Like, like
no
a nice reasonable
person came over.
Right.
Which is like horrible behavior.
Yeah. She's smooth thin.
But she said, "What do you mean? I've never given it to anyone. I've had it for years and years." She also said, I want to fuck you like 9 times, which is cool, but not if we're going to fuck him with a condom. Ain't right. no way that's happening 9 times with a condom.
Right.
And it's not going to happen 9 times anyway. But I get what she meant, like just fuck all night. But like that's not going to happen with condoms.
Right.
Maybe twice. And the other time is going to be like at 4 a.m.
See now, but I've had sex with a condom for so long that...
Is normal to you?
Yeah, it's normal. I enjoy it. I love it. I mean, I much prefer to have sex without a condom. And eventually we'll do that, I think, probably after a marriage situation, I guess.
There's no like pill she can take to like not get it, or shot she can take to not get it?
I don't think so. Or like maybe there's Valtrex. She probably wouldn't get it because, like I said, I haven't had an outbreak in so long. But then you just don't want that resentment there. Like if she gets it and then something happens,
you.
And you're like, you fucking, you're breaking up with me, and you gave me herpes or whatever the fuck.
Oh right. Oh yeah, for sure. That's getting thrown in your face.
Right. So we have to have a.
Not only took my youth, you fucking took my purity.
Right. Right. So, I don't know. But condom sex, you're still getting laid. That's
dude, I did
nice.
The last 2 different girls I had sex with, I used a condom, and yeah. I feel like such a champion right now. I feel like I overcame, like I'm like not part of the problem for once.
Right.
2 in a row. It's so rare.
Did you come with, I mean, you overcame. You came too much, but did you come with the condom?
Yeah. When I was on depression medication, though, one of them, it was like, I had a girlfriend at the time, and it was like, I just would fucking fuck. I was like, I can't come. And then I didn't realize what it was. Is that a tick?
No. Yeah, when I was on Paxil, man, like, I could not.
What is this?
Come.
And then I read the box, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's a side effect. Very frustrating.
Yeah, you could fucking choke me and stomp on my balls and fuck me, and I would, nothing doing.
Yeah, I can come eventually with the condom, but there's sometimes where it's like, it reaches that critical mass where it just goes down, and it's like, oh, now I'm losing my boner, and I'm not going
to
come.
Of course, yeah. It happens to me. I still have it happen.
What you need is 5 minutes of fucking without the condom, and then you can put the condom back on. But then that goes...
Right.
A pregnancy situation.
Well, now I feel like it's almost like I've been sober for so long. If I had a drink, I'd be fucked up. Now I feel like if I fucked without a condom, I would come instantaneously.
That's what a lot of the high school guys wore condoms for. It's like, I just want to last more than 5 minutes.
Right.
So they would wear a condom for that.
Yeah.
Which I get that too. Tripoli calls it magic pussy.
Who does?
Sam Tripoli.
Oh, I don't know.
Where it's like, as soon as you get in, you're like, aah.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it's going to be like. I think about it. I can get myself to come. By fucking thinking about there not being a condom.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm like, that idea is insane to me.
Yeah. You would have to get off it eventually if you get married, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, I'm not going to be married having sex with a condom, so. But
the problem is,
you know.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you get used to it, it's so unspontaneous.
You can't just lean over
while you're like in bed, like sleeping, and lean over and get the feeling and just start boning.
That's what sucks is the lack of spontaneity. Like, I have to like reach down, like move books, pull condoms out, open a thing, roll it on.
Which way is up or down in the dark?
Yeah, and it's like that's what sucks is you can't just roll over and be like.
My favorite to tell jokes is condoms. They're dry. They're dry. Like inside the actor studio. He goes, if you put a condom on and it feels great, it's inside out.
That's funny.
Yeah. I had somebody tell me that's the reason they didn't like it tell because dirty humor. She didn't like any dirty jokes. I was like, what about this? That's a witty joke. Dry, like inside the actor studio. She goes, nope.
Oh,
dirty.
Wow. Well, that person's
like, oh, you're
idiot.
Just, you've already got your preconceived notions about what's acceptable or not.
Yeah. She's what's known as a dum-dum.
Dum-dum, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dated her. So did Justin Lick and Bronger and Duncan.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, to have those kind of attitudes about fucking comedy when you hook up with a comedian.
Well, that's like, I saw someone tweet
Justin
the other day.
Justin Lick's dirty.
A girl tweeted at Mark Norman after his Conan set that he was, whatever he was, misogynistic or something. And I was like going through her feed because I'm fascinated by these people. And she just wrote, she's like, if you make a transgender joke, you're transphobic, period. No questions asked, no exceptions.
Not even like my trans friend jaywalked and almost got hit by a car.
Right.
That's still like transphobic. I'm like, what do you mean?
Well, like I was thinking about DePaulo has a great joke. Where he's like, man, he's like, Bruce Jenner, I can't believe it. Like, he's like, I had his poster on my wall when I was 12, and the other day I had to take it down. And I'm like, that's so fucking funny to me. He had a poster on his wall for 40 years. He's 55 years old.
Yeah, he's a poster.
He's just a Bruce Jenner poster. Yeah. And I'm like, that's transphobic.
Like a little kid.
It's just like, that's a joke about him having a poster.
It's also, especially in Caitlyn Jenner's case, like, this is a news story. It is part of pop culture.
Right.
You're supposed to just ignore that completely?
Yeah, no jokes allowed.
My feeling is, like, without a joke, it's like, that's just a reality star, and I don't give a fuck what the hell he does.
Right, right.
You know? That guy who got sold all the WikiLeaks secrets.
Yeah.
Private, whatever his name is, got a sex change in jail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Shannon Manning, I think that's her name.
Oh, I don't know.
And I forgot the man's name. But, yeah, we all just like, yeah, okay, that's allowed.
Right.
But, like, there's no so brave. You're a fucking reality star. Everything you do is for press.
Right.
You immediately went on the cover of a magazine. I don't give a shit about any of you guys.
Right.
If you're giving money to charity or getting sex changes.
Right.
Or sex tapes, you're all garbage.
Right.
Who cares what you do with your garbage lives? There's no value there. There's no value. His
right.
value was running fast.
Right.
And that
right.
was long since used up.
Right.
Anyway. So, there was something else I was going to say about herpes. So it hasn't come back in a long time. That's cool.
Yeah, not in quite a while. Like the last time I did too, like the last few I had, it was just like a little like spot. Like it would be like itchy. Like, oh, I feel itchy. And there's like a little red.
And then what happens like, when you get that? You
like
feel
a
shame?
Spot.
What happens?
No, I'm just like, ah, shit, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, and then I had, like, after the herpes, like, 2 years later, I started getting warts, and they started popping up. And that was a nightmare, because that was like, it's happening all over again. And I was like, I already went through herpes. I shouldn't have to. I had this, like, woe is me type thing of,
yeah.
like. But then you go back, and you're like, well, it's your fault. You fucked a bunch of people. You fucked one with herpes and one with HPV.
Yeah.
But that sucked, too, because.
Surprised by how many people have gotten that.
Yeah. Oh, everyone.
By the way,
HPVs.
If any woman is listening under 26, just go get the fucking.
Oh, yeah.
There's a pre-antidote. What's it called? That's not the right word. Pre-antidote.
I have no idea what it's
called.
No, what's
the medical term for getting something so you can't get something? Vaccine.
Apothecary?
Vaccine.
Vaccine, yes.
Yeah.
Vaccine.
Apothecary? You went apothecary before vaccine?
I don't know. Medicine.
Just get it, and then you'll never get it.
Yeah, that's
it's horrible. Because then they come up like fucking like flowers that come up from the spring.
Yeah,
and you're like, let me burn this one off. But like, there's nine behind it.
Yeah, I had a ton of them riddled, like 15 of them all over my cock, and it was horrible. But I had that feeling of like, you should only be like at herpes or HPV. I have both.
Both.
It was fucking horrible. But I got that taken care of, and that doesn't come back either.
That doesn't come back. Yeah,
and that actually
really
goes away.
Yeah.
HPV, you no longer like it's no longer in my system.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like if you just. If you're having sex with one partner or whatever who doesn't have it,
you'll just
and
never
you burn
get it
them
again.
Off. Yeah, they just go away.
Yeah, I started eating better after that. It was like they were like, you know, your immune system, same shit. So like, eat bran for a while, eat
yeah.
some salads, try not to drink, try not to get stressed. I'm like, no stress.
Right,
you
right.
just told me.
Right,
you're being like you're saying I'm at my fault here, and like you're making me feel like an asshole.
No, that's the best. Is trying
you
to live.
I'll never be able to fuck again.
You try to live a stressless life as a comedian in New York City. Well, that's not going to work out.
I don't know where I'm going to feed myself next week.
Right.
Yeah. Well, man, I think that's it. You don't know how much that pill cost? Or do you know?
I have no idea.
Never
now.
Looked into it.
No. I mean, I was broke at the
right.
time. Like, I spent all my money on booze.
I'm finding that, yeah, broke, but still afford $60
exactly.
a night on booze. I'm
exactly.
like, that's rent.
Yeah.
It's rent. You could have another apartment.
Yeah, I was an idiot.
Yeah, everybody says they're broke. It's like, oh, we can't pay the cover charge. I'm like, you're going to spend $75 in here. The $10
right.
cover charge is not the issue.
Right.
But anyway, I'm just starting to figure out like stuff I've analyzed when I was broke. Same thing as like college.
Yeah.
But like, oh, I can't afford this. I set in my mind I cannot afford this thing. And then you're like, oh, that's only $8.
Right.
Like, I can afford that now. But I have to like reevaluate. Like my friend and I got ponchos at a Yankee game. Because it was raining, $10 ponchos.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what are we just going to fucking get wet? He goes, let's just go buy ponchos. I was like, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel about, first of all, making some amount of money in comedy now and then
some.
Not drinking. It's like, oh, I can buy things now.
Yeah.
Soap, nice soap.
Nice like, soap. You ever see that Simpsons thing where he had, like, he quit drinking for a month and then he had Homer and all this extra money in his. Marge was like, you're a better person now. You're more loving. You're here with the kids. And look at all this money I found in your pocket. It was like at day 30. He was about to go drink. He goes, yoink. Immediately go spend it on booze.
It's funny.
Do you miss drinking?
Not too much. Not really. Occasionally, like summer days, like I'll see someone sitting out having a beer. And you're like, oh, that looks delicious.
Summer shandy.
Yeah,
that's
but like
I feel about cigarettes. If everyone's around, cool people, having a cigarette in a group. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I really want that. But
yeah.
It won't stop there.
Well, that's how the thing is, like, there's a thing with drinking, like, you don't think about the first drink, you think about the last drunk.
The last what?
The last drunk. So, like...
What do you mean?
It's easy to think about the first drink of, like, oh, man, that beer would be delicious to sit and have a beer. But you have to think about the last time I was drunk, I was taking a shit in a girl's fucking shoe, or I got herpes, or right. I, you know, fell out of a car, or I threw up. Yeah.
Drunk.
Like,
right.
I know where it heads, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, you forget about the negative and only think about the positive.
Right. So, like, yeah, a beer sounds nice, but fucking walking home with no shoes on because I yeah. threw them at somebody or whatever the fuck is like, I don't know. So that's all. If whenever I feel like drinking, I just kind of go to that place. And
Jill Sobule used to have, or Sobule, I forget her name, but she had that I Kissed a Girl song on the Clueless soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
She had a song about not remembering why her ex-boyfriend was so shitty. Just like, it was all about his great smile. She had seen him in 5 years.
Right.
Like, why? It was all, it was like, why did we break up?
Yeah.
And then like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you flirt with my brother. You're like.
Right, which is a wonderful thing that we had that humans or most of us have.
Forget.
Is that you remember the positive. I mean,
oh,
that's,
yeah.
like a, that's a nice way to be wired.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember how fun that was.
Oh, look at Winona Ryder. She got caught shoplifting. People just forget.
Yeah.
Anything that happens to me online, when they have, like, outrage on me online, I'm like, you will forget.
Yeah, people will just
It'll
move
just
on.
Pass. You're right. Just angry right now.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. To have guys come up to you, like other comics, and be like, hey, can I talk to you? I need some advice on something.
Yeah.
And then, like, confided in you, they have herpes.
Oh, have I had that? No, people haven't said that to me, but people have asked a lot of questions. Like, I get phone calls all the time, people asking if they have it or whatever, or
oh,
what,
really?
What it's like, blah, blah, blah. So I've been helpful there, but yeah, not too many people have been like, I have it also. Maybe a couple people have. I've had people, like fans, email me. I've had that happen, which is really nice.
Really?
People are like, we appreciate you talking about it. We think it's great, yada, yada. It's weird because I never thought it was like bold or noble or anything. I'm just like an open guy.
Right.
And it was funny to me, so I'd just talk about it.
Well, it's honestly, at some point, it's like, this is my reality.
Right.
I can hide from it.
Yeah.
Or not, but it's like, it's that's who you are. I mean,
yeah.
You got it. You got it. So it's like, I don't know. You also have dark hair.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just a thing that happened, and it's, I don't know. I don't
yeah.
care.
I have comics calling me for advice on unemployment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, random, the word's out. It's like, I can help with that. People are like, hey, can you tell me? I'm like, yeah, here's the number. You got to call a bunch.
Oh, wow.
Here's why you can qualify.
Is that your thing? You collected unemployment for a long
time? For about 9 years, I collected unemployment.
Oh, wow. Good
it
for you.
It helped me stay in comedy.
Yeah.
I did what it was supposed to. Kept me in my real job.
What were you doing before that you get to collect unemployment?
Commercial.
Oh.
You book a commercial, you get fired. And so then all the residuals just play into unemployment and you're out of a job. It's such a loophole for commercial actors.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great thing for a lot of LA actors, LA comics to do is commercials. They want something goofy and funny and we're great at that.
Right.
You know?
I did a couple commercials.
Yeah, and they're like, why aren't you at your job anymore? And I did like 60. I did a shitload.
You did 60 commercials?
Something like that. Maybe more.
Wow. One.
You don't notice people in commercials.
Did you do one thing or you just kept getting commercials?
Just kept getting them. I don't think I ever had like campaign or like multiple.
Holy shit.
Spots.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No wonder why you're splitting money evenly. That's insane.
I was still broke. It was just like, because also you would go like a year without getting them sometimes.
Right, right.
Fuck.
Yeah, I got the first commercial I ever went out for and then the third commercial I ever went out for.
Wow.
It was insane.
SAG stuff?
And got nothing since. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One was like a national commercial that they kept selling it in like Canada and India. I kept getting money off.
I heard they're done now. They only do industrial and they don't do like TV. All the TV stuff, like regular network, is like non-union, so they don't have to pay people like the real rates.
Oh, wow.
So all you're hoping for is a cable buyout of like $3,000 every season, which is not bad, but not enough to be like, I did a Kia commercial where I made like, it changed my life. I made $45,000 off it in like
wow.
2.5 years. And it
wow.
was like, oh, I can just be a comic now.
Right, right.
And like my focus can be on that. I don't have to
wow.
rob my day of 8 hours while I'm thinking about the health network and
yeah.
what kind of coffee he wants me to order.
Right.
But yeah, it's great. You just tell him like, yeah, I was downsized. I'd love to keep working on this commercial for $500 a day, but I can't because there's no job anymore.
Wow. Well, that's smart.
$450 a week.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's supposed to be for half the year, 26 weeks, but then a recession hit, they give you another free 13. I'm like, fuck yeah, recession. No recovery.
That's fucking great.
Yeah. The recession did not hit comedians that hard, unless you were touring.
No, I didn't really notice it at all. But I was broke and continued to be broke.
Right, like yeah. I already have no money. This
right.
wasn't a downturn. Right. Wait, there was something else I was going to say about herpes, but I don't know what it is. Was there anything else you had to add?
I'm trying to think. I think we touched on most of it.
Well, all right. You have a podcast, Tuesdays with Maury.
Tuesdays with Stories.
Maury, excuse me.
Tuesdays
sorry.
With Stories.
You and Mark Norman.
Yeah, me and Mark Norman. I always talk about my favorite tweet we've ever received ever. Some guy wrote, "The show is as great as the name sucks." which was really sweet.
I love those reviews. I love when like fans get creative.
Right.
The Crab Feast has that as their like logo. Their iTunes review is "Fuck the Crab Feast," 5 stars. and that's our t-shirt, funny. FTFC.
But yeah, I have a podcast, Tuesdays with Stories. Check it out. It's real fun and silly and irreverent and exciting and
yeah,
all that
Norman
shit.
Norman invited me on. We just did a podcast a couple days
ago. Yeah, we got to have you on. We'd love to have you on. We're big fans. Wait, I called you the devil on there one time.
Did you really?
Yeah, sarcastically. Yeah,
that's, but, oh, that's
nice. I think it was right after the One Arm Girl. Yeah. He brought up you, and I said, oh, that guy is the devil, goddammit.
The best is Marina brought me on stage afterwards. She asked me about it. A couple girls asked me about it. Like, what's going on with this? Like, in a legit way, like, not like, let me attack you online. Just like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
Can you explain this to me? And then, so she was like, all right, that makes sense. And then she brought me on and was like, he's a troublemaker. This next guy's a troublemaker. He starts with people. It was right after Howard Stern, too.
Yeah, that thing's crazy. I got to follow your career closer.
No, you don't.
There's a lot of excitement out there.
I like having fun.
Yeah.
I'm a troublemaker. That's what I am. I'm
yeah,
a troublemaker.
You're Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah.
An instigator.
Yeah. I got to be honest, though. In terms of like the feminists,
yeah,
FEMYNYSTS, who were attacking me after the annoying woman.
Yeah.
Versus the Mexicans who were attacking me after they said yeah, amazing race. So, oh, the feminists are so much nicer.
Oh, really?
Oh, their threats are like kinder. Instead of like, I'll fucking kill you, I'm going to find your family and rape your mom. Oh, somebody said I'm going to nigger rape your mom.
Oh, wow.
She's like, what does that mean? The most I'll do is if there's an outright death threat on Facebook or Twitter, I'll just report it and get their account deleted.
Right.
Which is like my revenge.
Right.
But anyway, the feminists are all like, I hope you get pink eye. And it's like, all right, you guys aren't bad. I get it. You're upset. Yeah, so you got the podcast, Tuesdays with Maurice.
Tuesdays with Stories.
Stories.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you ever read that book, Tuesdays with Maurice?
No, that's what I love about it. Mark and I, neither one of us have any affiliation with the book. We've never read it. We don't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
But originally it was going to be, Tuesdays with Stories, it started because the idea was I wanted to actually do that, where comics get together at a diner and hang out on Tuesday because Monday, a lot of people have Sunday shows,
uh-huh,
so they're traveling Monday. So I was like, we'll get everyone together on Tuesday, we'll sit at a diner, everyone will share what they did that weekend.
Yeah.
But it's too hard to get comics
together
to commit.
You got to get them way in advance because they call them for spots a month early and they're like, oh, no, I can't.
Right. So I was like, to organize comics, I still would like to do that at some point, but maybe when we're older and more mature.
This is the setup. You can have splitters and something like this.
What do you mean?
Have a mic?
But I mean, not even a podcast. I wasn't even talking about podcasts.
Oh, just get together.
I just meant a hang.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like, just
we
like,
should have that. One late night a week?
Yeah, every Tuesday you hang out and fucking...
Midnight on.
Bullshit, yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought in the afternoon, like a lunch.
Oh, sure, that could be too.
Like, and everyone's like, oh, you were here. I worked the city. I was at the Cellar and some fucking crazy maniac heckled me. Oh, I was at the Funny Bone in Omaha.
That'd be a great idea.
So I always wanted to do that, but then it never worked out, so we just did it as a podcast instead.
A reason to hang out.
And, yeah, that's all podcasts are. It's the reason to hang out.
It's not enough hang out. It's just a fun conversation, and it's like, you guys can listen at home if you want.
Right.
Just shut up.
Right.
Sit over there and listen. Like a new comic.
But there's not enough hanging in the city anymore, because people are working their careers. I always say, if it was a festival, we'd all be hanging out all day. You just go, what are we doing tomorrow? We'll meet at noon.
Yeah, it's a problem.
There's not enough hanging.
I mean, a couple times with Norman, I've gone like the Fat Black, and I've drank till like late, and that's like cool. But it's like when we're done with shit.
Right.
But also, it's like, cool, what are you doing now? It's like, oh, I got 3 more spots.
Right,
so I can't, I'm not done on the same schedule you're done.
Right, right.
But at the open mic level, it was all hanging out.
Yes.
You do one open mic, we're all done with it, we'll support till the end, and then let's go to Jerry's and get something to eat or...
Right. Now, I did that in Boston, but I never got anything done. I didn't write any jokes or get any work. Now there is work to do, and you have to go on auditions and bullshit and podcasts.
We should get together, especially this summer. We should meet in Central Park and just fucking hang out.
Well, you weren't here last year. I threw a big party here. It was fun. Last summer. I think it was Memorial Day. It was like 70 comics out here. It was great.
Really?
Yeah.
They did it in Julia Rossi had one in one of those other parks, in the Brooklyn parks.
Yeah, yeah.
Prospect or something, one of them.
I'll set something up again.
Yeah.
I like getting people together.
I'm leaving. That's why Shroomfest is on Monday, too, by the way, because comics are like, oh, they're working on Friday, Saturday.
Right, right.
You have to do it on Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Good point. All right, well, we'll do something.
All right.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
I hope it wasn't, I feel like it wasn't funny enough.
Don't worry. You said the same thing about the Storyteller Show, because you didn't have an ending.
Right.
But,
Well, I'd like to apologize. That's the it's
I'll tell
the
you
Jew
what,
in me.
Ann Harris said she liked you a lot from that show.
Wait, was she there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes me feel good. I was
That's
horrible.
The only reason I said it. It's because I like, I know she's an executive. This will make you feel good. I mean, she actually did say it. I'm not like making it up.
Right, right.
Like, yeah. You need those once in a while. To be like, hey, I like that.
Yeah, I want to be liked. I want to be loved.
Yeah, it's comics are weird in between, like, I don't give a fuck and like, no, but seriously, do like me. I mean, I don't give a fuck, but I really would rather you do.
Right. Anytime I've ever said I don't give a fuck, I was lying.
Yeah. I try not to give a fuck. Anyway, all right.
Yeah, thanks.
Enjoy Stress Factory?
Yeah, I'm heading out to Stress Factory.
Oh, wait, no, some dates. So, what do you got?
Oh, September 15th to the 17th, I'm at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale.
Nice.
California.
You going to go to L.A. and San Francisco afterwards?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. And then I have a half-hour special coming out on Comedy Central, or the half-hour.
When is it?
I don't know the date yet, but it'll be the fall. You. So keep an eye out for that. You can follow me at Joe List Comedy on Twitter. This girl in the pink dress over here is really unbelievable.
The light pink dress?
The light pink, yeah. The flowy pink.
She's cute.
At Joe List Comedy.
Like 3 weeks ago, and I just can't see that well.
Wait, did you not have eye surgery or whatever?
No, I'm thinking of, I'm going for a meeting on Monday.
Oh, so you just stopped. You just can't see.
Yeah, I mean, I can see you.
Oh, I just assumed that you
had Patagonia on your bag, but I can't see, like, I don't know how hot she is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, I just kind of got lazy about it. Like, I can get through life without it.
Yeah, all right.
I have to find new glasses. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know my other dates
offhand. So Sunnyvale, you don't know anything else?
September 15th to the 17th. I don't want to reach in my bag and do a whole thing.
Hold on, I'll pause it. You got it.
All right, I'll also be at Comics at Foxwoods in Connecticut, July 30th through August 1st. And then I'm doing the Arch City Comedy Festival in Columbus, September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Henry Phillips will be there, and Al Jackson, and some other people.
Maybe I'll put this out in mid-August.
What's that?
Maybe I'll put this out in mid-August.
Mid-August?
I got to save up a bunch. I'm trying to think when to put each one out. Maybe I'll put it out earlier. I don't know. Depends how much I actually do.
Yeah.
All right. None of this should be on the podcast. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it really was that thing when I met you. It was like everybody talks about how good you are, and it like didn't make sense to me.
But I have a career now. Now I've done some things.
Yeah.
In the last year.
It was such an honest answer. Oh, I know. I had one more question about it.
Oh, all right.
Did you stop drinking because of the career stuff or because of herpes?
No, because I drank for a while after herpes. It was like a lot of career stuff. It was a lot of things building up for a long time. I shit in a girl's shoe in her apartment. I shit all over the place.
That wasn't like a made-up example.
No, that was a real thing. I got herpes. I was broke for so long. I was still middling 14 years in.
So getting herpes was more of a symptom of my drinking is getting me in trouble rather than like I need to drink something because of the herpes.
Yeah, I didn't work at any clubs in the city. I was just I hated myself. I had no comics kept passing me. I wasn't working. I was bitter. I was depressed.
Yeah. It was such an honest answer. Like, why aren't you bigger? And you're like, booze. Like, oh, man, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're, for me, like, if you have a drinking problem, all these problems, you're like, everyone hates me, and I keep getting bad luck. And then you realize, it's like, oh,
it's not bad
because I'm a drunk
doing
fucking idiot. This is all my fault.
God, you really want to blame everybody else, don't you?
Right.
And you're like, hold on. Oh, yeah, I haven't written anything in 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, I'm not really trying or working. And I was actually doing relatively well. Without trying, I was making a living, you know.
Yeah, without trying. That's a hard thing, too. It's hard to try when you're actually, but I'm doing okay. So who are you to say that I'm not doing well?
Right, right.
I was thinking about giving Whitney, like, a little piece of advice on her stand-up. Like, don't scream. Don't yell at the audience. Fucking talk to them.
Right.
But then I'm like, what am I going to tell her? You could be doing better.
Right.
Like, just keep going. I guess.
Right.
Do whatever you want.
Right. So.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm doing well now.
Well, that's good. You are really funny.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I don't like when people like that like have trouble like making a living.
Right, right. Yeah, it was
worse for comedy.
It was a bummer. But I'm doing well now. And I'm also be on Last Comic Standing.
Oh yeah.
So I don't want to
good comedy contest. That'll help your career. I will never not demean that shit.
Yeah.
Which I can. That and Girl Code.
Yeah, but
good for you. You need to do it, fine. But fuck the comedy contest.
Yeah, I mean
it's better than America's Got Talent at least.
This season at least there's no challenges and bullshit. It's straight stand up.
Come on, man.
So I hate to be the guy that's like, the year I did it, it was better.
How far have you gotten?
Well, the whole thing is, well, I can't talk about it. I'm not supposed to. I'm all.
When does it come out?
I can't talk about it. July 22nd, it starts airing.
When does it end airing?
By the way, I'll happily talk to you about it once we're on the podcast.
Good.
I'm not one of those people. But yeah, I will be. All I'm supposed to say is I will be appearing on the show.
I feel like this year they're gonna like tell it because the top 100 and like everyone can tweet out the picture of the top 100. It's like, oh, you guys are looking for the comics to promote it.
Of course.
It's kind of like a Caroline show now.
Yeah, exactly. That's this whole business now is a bringer. It's just one big bringer.
But then it's like, okay, I'm bringing it. Then why do I need this club? Why don't I just rent out a black box and make the money myself?
Right. That's what I'm interested in.
So then the clubs are now like, all right, we'll pay you more.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what Stanhope did. The way I heard it, and then we'll go, I guess, was that the San Jose Improv offered him $2,500 for the week.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you kidding me? I can make that more at a bar in one night. And then he's like, oh, I just heard what I said. Oh, yeah, I'll just go make more of that at a bar in one night.
Right,
right. And then he went there and he did that. And now he was like made a living doing that. And now the club's like, you can have our night, our club on a Wednesday.
Right.
You know, for free.
Boy, he's the best, isn't he?
He's the best.
He is a true artist.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
And a genius, too. I mean, not genius, but he's brilliant, I would say.
God. He's what Bill Hicks wasn't. He's all of my shitting on Bill Hicks is because he's a lot more like Doug Stanhope.
Right.
He lost funny in his, like, need to, like, make a point.
Right. Yeah, that happens. That's why I never want to make a point.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thank you.
That was the episode, everybody. Thank you very much. I didn't think he was boring. I think he was boring? I didn't think he was boring. I thought it was good. Fun stuff in there. Some educational things about what a herp must look like. Ugh. I do not want to get that. You'd think I would have gotten it by now. With the amount of chances I've taken without condoms over the years. Think I would have gotten it, but as the fates would have it, did I ever believe I was invincible? Yes, I did. Yeah, well, I got lucky. That's all it really boils down to. Don't say ew when people get it. It's just they got unlucky and you guys didn't. Yeah, I'd rather get lucky. Anyway, so that's the episode. Thank you, Joe List. Don't forget, Washington, D.C., this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go to arithegreat.com for tickets on the side. And I added a This Is Not Happening storyteller show in Long Island City in New York, July 28th, 8 or 9 o'clock, I forget. I think hopefully 9. So the topic is lies or living lies. Anyway, come. The lineup will be great. But it's a really small room, so you got to hurry up. I guess I'll try to get the tickets up later today. But they'll be up on the Creek in the Cave. That's where it is, the Creek in the Cave. Anyway, you guys, thanks for tuning in, right? Good educational, fun podcast. Right now, I'm getting LASIK eye surgery. I started like... Yeah, I'll be in it right now. Getting home. I guess I won't check my email or Twitter for like a day. Tell Joe how he did. Tell him he's a really funny comic. He really is. He's like one of the better comics in New York. He's just good. So see him when you can. If he's in your city, man, he should be more often. He's going to comics, I think, this weekend at Foxwoods, Connecticut. I think that's where he said. Go see him. He's just real good. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, you guys. To all of us who have beaten the odds. We live to fight another day. But, like, probably it'll probably happen, right? At some point. And yeah, we'll just be ready for it. I feel like I would call it for a while. My first thought would be like, nah, no more fucking. I'll just be done with that. It's not worth it. That would be my first thought. I wonder how much of myself was like to kill myself. Maybe a small part. Man, I hope I don't ever get it. But whatever. I guess if I do, I do. Coming to terms with it. All right. You guys, thank you very much. Ari Shaffir Skeptic, thank. Episode 227. The Herp. With Joe List is done.
Sleeping in an empty bed. I can't get you off my head. I know I have a life until you're dead. Yeah, you have.